B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And a good Tuesday morning to you. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Got a few tired eyes around this place this morning. Jamie's got a baby. Keeping him up at night, it looks
like. She didn't want to sleep last night.
Poor thing.
Even when she's in the other room, that baby can cry.
She can really cry?
Good Lord. She's got pipes on her.
Really? She can really...
You should have heard his little rant this morning. It was pretty funny.
Do you have to keep Addie from going to her?
No, she doesn't let us let go of her.
So she does not...
She cannot be placed down.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I'm taking joy in her miseries.
Bob and I were commiserating earlier going, yeah, we don't miss that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when she actually becomes like a little bit of a human in like 2.5 months. That'll be fun. A
little bit?
Yeah.
Because it's like a little rough right now.
She's useless right now.
She's just... That's terrible. You sound like...
Can't even hold her neck up.
You sound like Dave Dombrowski looking at his roster. Very, 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 very similar. He had that same statement.
Yeah.
At the postseason meetings for his team.
Can we just kind of highlight the fact that Jamie's making fun of his newborn child for not being able to hold her neck up?
You haven't heard the half of it this morning.
She's causing some problems. She kept him from Vegas.
I could just see Jamie like coming home and putting her on the ground and just pointing and laughing and be like,
oh my gosh.
Get off.
You can't do anything.
Oh my gosh. Can't do anything. Connor was out at the Sixers last night. And Connor still buzzes around like a bee, but you can tell when Connor's a little tired.
Yeah, he doesn't hide it well. Yeah,
but he still hustles. He's got that hustle gene. Coach is the same every day because I think his programmer, whoever programs him, really does a good job of making sure the program is set.
Coach is a rock.
He is. 4 a.m. Coach is the same person every day.
Yeah, I couldn't get my into my email though.
Yeah, did you get that fixed out?
No, not yet. No, I contacted
them. Sounds like we all need to call the bitch and complain line.
I did that. Thankfully, it came up pretty easy for me. All right, 6 o'clock hours brought to you by our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. 2 weeks in, and now we're back to the Embiid needs a night off stuff to rest his injured knee because it's going to be tired and the schedule's going to be so stressful and blah, 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 blah. I'm so tired of it. I wasn't subjected to this as long as all of you were. So excuse me if I just find it grates on my nerves. And we can talk all we want about the 76ers needing to trade Ben Simmons or to rehab Ben Simmons so he can play for them again and again, blah, 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 blah. The real story is right under our noses. If Joel Embiid isn't healthy, if Joel Embiid isn't ready to do his best come spring, this year it'll be the spring playoffs, not summer, this franchise is going nowhere. If he can't play, the bus doesn't move. If the supporting cast can't carry enough, and last night they did, I guess that helps. It won't matter if Simmons is here or not. They've got no chance without one guy's knees holding up. And I'm hearing about the Sixers schedule and how grueling it is and how tough the beginning of this year is last night. I'm like, the beginning of this year is tough? It hasn't been tough yet. It's so frustrating to me that discussions of winning a championship revolve around one star who can't stay healthy, and another star who doesn't even want to be here. And to me, it's where it's at. I was impressed last night with the Sixers in victory. And one of our listeners, Pat, and I think you responded to it. Jamie, I think you may have too. His theory was that Daryl Morey and the Sixers wanted Portland to see the Sixers without Joel Embiid, knowing that they were going to be able to showcase some of those guys to say, here's a look. Let us see what that supporting cast looks like in significant minutes having to carry the freight and see what that means potentially in a deal later for CJ McCollum or Dame or whoever. Bob, is that a... You sort of perked up when I thought it was an interesting thought.
I did. It hadn't gone through my mind. And then, you know, you look at the box score and you think, okay, who might those guys be? Obviously, you're talking about a Furkan Korkmaz,
yes,
who looked good in his 25 minutes last night. A couple of key back-to-back threes last night. Thybul had a Thybul night. You know, nothing spectacular on the offensive end, but always disruptive on the defensive end. Shake Milton, He's shown he's kind of a scorer. Isaiah Joe, he got you 11 minutes. It looked like it was out of necessity, but as the caller said to you, John.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Have you ever heard of that in your years of covering the NBA?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The showcase stuff absolutely happens.
Oh, no question.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's something to that. What I went to was, okay, you're seven games in, and Joel Embiid, although we're all saying, oh, my God, he's sitting already. And, look, I'm never going to get used to it. I'm just not. You can tell me all you want about load management and all that. I'm just not going to get used to it. I wasn't brought up that way. I didn't watch basketball that way. I understand it's the way of the league now. But if he sits out one every seven, that's only 12 games. That's not counting, of course, injury and whatever else might happen. I guess that's their goal. If he sits out one of seven, that's 12 games. That's 70 out of 82. I think we'd all be happy with that, right?
I heard Tom McGinnis last night, though, saying there's two back-to-backs coming up in the next 10 days.
Yeah.
So do you expect Joel Embiid to be sitting one of those games? On the broadcast, it's sort of like, well, one of those two back-to-backs, at least, most likely he misses a game in both of those.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're going to have three games off in the first 10?
Here's where I struggle with it, too. Because listen what we're talking about. We're talking about, and Tom McGinnis brought it up, okay? A guy that's around the team all the time.
Sure.
So he's bringing up over the next 10 games, you got two back-to-backs, and he might be missing that. That shouldn't be your topic of conversation of games that Joel Embiid is missing.
Correct.
What should be is, all right, how is George Niang doing with this second unit? How is the first unit doing without Ben Simmons? It should be that basketball process of playing the game with Joel Embiid and seeing what this team is about, as opposed to looking ahead of him not playing.
Could you find another word than process, please? Jamie, to me, it's... When I'm hearing, and I heard Tom last night, Tom did a great job in the broadcast. I couldn't believe as I'm driving home from Rowan that they were already in the second half. That was like the fastest NBA game I've ever
in my life.
That went like that. And they're talking about, well, he's missing tonight, and then there's two back-to-backs coming up. So he's going to miss like three of the first 10 games?
Welcome back to Philadelphia. I mean,
I swear to you, it's terrible.
Yeah, this has been a storyline, a concern of mine since the minute he's been a Sixer. None of this works if there's no Joel Embiid. So, you know, Ben Simmons drama, Tobias Harris, all that. Yeah, it's great. If there's no Joel Embiid, there's no anything.
There's nothing.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate for a guy that appears to be one of the more often injured players I've ever seen in my life. He hasn't been able to complete a full season yet. He probably never will be. His full season is probably going to be that 68 to 70 games. That's
68 to 70. I'd be 68 to 70. I'm signing up for. I'm all in.
Yeah.
If he plays 70 games, I'm in. But if he plays 60,
70 might be high. Probably 66 to.
Yeah, well, 70. I don't think 66.
Yeah.
If I set the over under this morning at 61.5.
I'd take a slight over.
I think I might go a little over. Yeah.
A little over. So he misses like 18.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, God, I can't imagine missing 18 games.
Nuts. You're going to miss a quarter of the season.
Well,
you're going to sit for a quarter of a season.
Should have had off-season surgery.
That's what I wonder about. Pat, I mean, it's, as Jamie says, welcome home. But to me, it's such a frustrating storyline. It saps the life out of it. And last night, by the way, the crowd, when I got home and stuck it on, didn't look like a great crowd last night.
It was a great crowd. Connor was there. But
it's
also tough, I feel like, for the crowd to really get into it when you find out that your big three, all of them are out for various reasons. And then, maybe Tobias Harris. No, he's out too. But this is one of the reasons why I've been so negative with this season going with the Sixers is because he didn't have the surgery. I still cannot fathom why he didn't have the surgery. I've yet to hear a good explanation on why he didn't have the surgery. It made no sense. When the injury happened, it was okay. Surgery will happen at the end of the season. And then we even talked about it. Where was the announcement? Never happened.
Nothing.
So, I feel like this is... Okay, buckle up. Get ready. This is going to be the entire season. Is his knee's going to act up. He's going to have multiple MRIs on it to make sure that it's okay. And he's going to be resting for, quote-unquote, load management.
Hey, Lance and Darby jumps in on the Fanatic early. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, buddy. What's going on?
Yeah, after looking at that game, I'd rather go for C.J. McCollum than Dame Dollar. I don't know. I don't know if the new rules affecting the stars like him and Harding, but I don't know. I wasn't. I know that you don't have to be on your A game every night, but I'd rather do the C.J. McCollum. I don't want to give up Maxey, Dybul, or whatever.
Well, it would be cheaper. C.J. would be cheaper.
Well, yeah.
I mean, absolutely cheaper. You wouldn't have to gut as much as your team. Thanks, Lance. Bobby, I mean, you're not going to have to pay as much.
No.
You're what, 75%, 70% of what you'd pay for Dame?
Yeah, something like that. Of course, salaries have to come into play, so you'd have to look at all that. But Lance makes a good point. I'm noticing a lot different and communicating with some people that are high up in the thought process of this. I'm seeing a lot different kind of basketball. Players like Dame Lillard, like James Harden, they have to figure out how to play with the way. Now, it won't take them too long, 15, 20 games maybe. But they, Trae Young also, they have to figure out how to play with what the refs aren't calling
now.
You
think the refs will back off a little bit as the season goes along?
Let's not love Damon with those two. He doesn't play that style of ball. I think he's
he doesn't have
his legs.
But you could see him like last night, a few frustrating times where it probably would have been a call last year. And they just aren't. They're letting him play.
He got frustrated last night a couple times.
Yeah, it's more like 1980s, 90s basketball that they're kind of trying to look at now. And if you could add that in where the let him play. I called for it last year. You guys know this. Let him play. Let them play so the players know what they can get away with. When players don't know how to play the game because they don't know how it's going to be officiated, that's when you get the junk that we saw a lot of last year.
Dame got a taste of it in the Olympics. I mean,
exactly.
He should be somewhat more prepared than most for this.
Well, if he doesn't have his legs now, when's he going to have them?
They'll come back. It's probably the Olympics. I mean, they were on an abbreviated calendar year, and then they went to the Olympics, and then it was like, what, a month and a half off before the season? He's probably just worn down a bit.
Hey, the Chargers come to town with a young coach getting Coach of the Year chatter in Brandon Staley. Everybody talking about how dynamic Brandon Staley is and the great job that he's done. I can't help but notice, though, Brandon Staley's got the great young quarterback, too, that everybody's excited about. So I wonder, how fair is it that... could you plug Nick Sirianni into the Chargers and believe that he could also be getting the Coach of the Year buzz and the same type of production out of the offense if he was gifted the young quarterback? And is it really, really important that before we judge Nick Sirianni, and I almost hate to say it, give him a pass a little bit until he gets the young quarterback he wants to work with?
Yes.
So you absolutely believe that?
Yes.
I hear Brandon Staley talk. I do not hear Nick Sirianni.
I don't think if
not
I
even
plugged,
once.
This is just me. I don't think if I plug Nick Sirianni into the Los Angeles Chargers that he would have the success that this guy's having.
I don't either.
I haven't seen it yet. I just don't know. I don't know what he's coaching to do, to tell you the truth. He had to get hit over the head to say a running game's going to work after 8 games.
Then he almost begrudgingly was sort of mocking it. Yeah, his whole tone is so mocking. There's nothing about Nick Sirianni, because I was asked yesterday by a couple listeners going, well, what if Nick Sirianni had a star young quarterback? You got to wait till he gets his. I got to tell you, there's nothing about when you hear Brandon Staley talk and you hear Nick Sirianni talk that sounds in any way similar.
Yeah, but I don't care about press conferences. The ultimate quarterback coach relationship has been proven. Tom Brady is more valuable than Bill Belichick. Therefore, the quarterback is more important. I think a good coach can be made to look like a great coach with a great quarterback. I don't think it's very complicated.
I got to tell you, I think that right now, Bill Belichick and his rookie quarterback.
Well, Mac Jones looks like he's a real player.
But Mac Jones is being developed where I think Mac Jones looks, if he's not the best quarterback out of this year.
He probably is so far.
He is.
Yeah. But
he's playing better than Trevor Lawrence.
Look at Bill last year with no good quarterback.
Yeah, but this is talking about a young quarterback.
Okay.
Talking about to start out with a young quarterback and bring
him.
Not somebody who's already been in the NFL.
A good to great quarterback makes a coach.
Yeah, or a rookie quarterback can be made to look much more competent.
I think Nick looks totally fine. I'm not saying he's Coach of the Year candidate, but he looks totally fine if he's got Justin Herbert.
If Bill Belichick had Jalen Hurts, Pat, would Jalen Hurts look better?
What do you look?
Would Josh McDaniels Belichick, Jalen Hurts, what do you think he would look like?
I think he would look better, but he's still not an NFL quarterback.
An NFL quarterback or a starting quarterback?
Starting NFL quarterback.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I don't believe Joe
would look better.
I think he'd look a lot better.
Yeah.
I think he would get, well, first off, they would not put him in a situation where he's throwing it.
Well, can he magically make him hang in a pocket and make his reads?
They would make they would much rather Josh McDaniels would coach circles around Nick Sirianni as far as offensive football.
I'm not saying he's not, but is he have the ability to make Jalen Hurts stay in a pocket? Because that's his biggest flaw.
Oh, it is his biggest flaw.
And I don't know if coaching, look, he's been under some great coaches, and he's fleeing at the first second he sees pressure, which is most plays in the NFL. So I just don't know if a great coach can make him stay in a pocket and go through his progressions.
I'm still judging Sirianni, obviously. I'm not kicking him out the door yet or anything like that, and no ill will at all. But besides the obvious, I don't know what I've seen from him that's impressed me.
No,
in all honesty. And I'm just being 1,000% honest. He hasn't really done anything that I've gone, oh, wow, good deal. You know, it's just been kind of everything's blatantly obvious in front of him. He did it. And sometimes, most times he didn't do it, even though the obvious was in front of him. So I don't know. My book is still out.
What's interesting, too, is the veterans in the locker room know that the building's on fire. They know it. And now they're trying to come out and tell you how impressed they are with Nick Sirianni and how they really loved the plant speech. And they're using all the good soldier talk. They're trying to put out the fires that Nick Sirianni's setting. They're coming out in saying, no, everything's good. Everything's good. Nothing to see here. Don't look. No. Everything's good.
It was good on Sunday.
It's really good. Against Detroit, yeah, it is. It was. I think it was exceptional on Sunday. Absolutely exceptional.
Well, I think they responded for the coach. I mean, look, it's the Lions, but, you know, they won by 38 points. That's rare in the National Football League.
So players are on the field openly mutinying against the coach. People are behind microphones, veteran players, openly mutinying against the coaching staff. And then all of a sudden, when the public turns on those statements and makes them known, it's, oh, no. He was really inspiring. He gets us fired up. Oh, yeah, he has total, man. We really are all behind him. Well, such a load of crap. You had veteran leaders literally taking to the microphones to call out this coaching staff. And now they want to go, no, change the narrative. No, we're all behind him. It's great.
Well, look, it's no fun going to work with the type of environment that you described in the first place, with guys calling out their coach or talking behind back. Like, that's no fun. It's not a good work environment. It's not easy to play football. It's not easy to go to your work, whatever your line of business is, if it has that kind of feeling to it. So, yeah, you get a win, albeit the Lions, but Jamie's right. You know, rarely do you win a football game by that many points and dominate
that
like you
dominant.
Did. So you have to get positives out of it because moving forward, as I said yesterday, the positives are what's good for this organization. Positive football means playing at your best and being able to evaluate who's who and what's what.
Got good news out of the Flyers this morning. Pat Egan. Well, Elaine Vigneault wants to know if you got a few minutes in you tonight, Pat, because Arizona's in town and he figures he can win. So he's figuring load management, maybe for a Claude Giroux tonight, a little load management, and then you step in.
I think this one's a lock tonight.
Arizona's looks terrible.
They're atrocious.
They're terrible. And then you got two critical matchups this week on the road, Pittsburgh and Washington. It seems strange to say last place Penguins. Now, they've got some
beaten up. Yeah, they're injured.
They're beaten up.
They're real banged up.
And then Washington this Saturday night, who has yet to lose in regulation. They have not lost a game in regulation.
They have that T word that we talk about in sports.
What's
talent?
That? Talent?
Talent, and they have good coaching.
You're going to get Arizona tonight, so you get a chance to... tonight should be a party night.
Arizona is the Detroit Lions of hockey.
Wow, that's how bad they are. 3-2 overtime loss. You guys are just dooming them.
No, they're pretty bad. No.
Bob, this
isn't last year's Flyers, Bob.
It's like in Major League when they're describing the players and they go, I've never heard of half these guys. But without the cute story of them going on a run, that's the Coyotes.
How about puck line tonight?
I haven't looked.
Giving up the 1.5. I'm going to go to my Parks Casino Sportsbook app and take a look at it, because the puck line to me would be something that might be quite tasty tonight.
I don't know. 0-8-1, that's a dangerous team. Are you kidding me?
Dangerous.
Yeah, they're prime.
What are they, dangerous?
Yeah, that's it. They're looking for that.
Oh, my God.
It's a Shane Gossesbear revenge game.
Yes. Hey, KGL Skin Study Center in Newtown Square is testing a product which can help alleviate the symptoms of your seborrheic eczema. You can earn up to $250 if selected. KGLSkinStudyCenter.com. The eczema is so common. I saw a commercial on TV last night. How many people have eczema? I guess now that everything is about some, everything's about a drug or, you know, some sort of condition. And they're showing people like that. I wear my sleeves. I always wear the sleeves. I don't wear this dress. And I'm like, okay, eczema is popping up now. I'm learning a little bit about eczema. I did not know it was that, that big a deal.
Very common.
Oh, my gosh.
-225 for the puck line on DraftKings.
Boy, that's not even attractive.
Ew.
It doesn't sound very attractive. We're going to have some interesting news on DraftKings and some other of those sports betting outlets coming up a little bit later on in the show today. It seems like they want to venture out and get into some other businesses too. So, look, it's a big night. Big night coming up. You got Flyers hockey right here on the Fanatic. That comes your way tonight, right after Mike Missinelli show, right after Devon Gibbons tonight. You'll have that here on the Fanatic. And then, obviously, a big week coming up with your Sixers and your Flyers. Lots of games coming up. We're getting into the fall schedule, and we lead you towards the Eagles and the Chargers this weekend. 4:05 start.
Yeah, hate that.
I'm not making the trip down Sunday.
I don't love it. This is weird.
I don't like
because of the pushing the clocks back that it's going to be dark like in the second quarter.
Yes.
I don't like it starting in the light.
4:45 sunset.
You were complaining about that.
It's disgusting. I hate it.
I hate it.
You're not happy.
There's no idea. There's no reason to be doing this anymore. There's no reason for us to be messing with the clocks again. It just is. This has got to stop. There's been proclamations, and they voted on it. Like, when it goes, Georgia already voted on it. They said, when the country, we're into it. Change it. Don't ever do this again. We don't need to do this.
Yeah, but it'll still be dark, right?
No, but I mean, still, though, we don't need to fall back. There's no reason to be falling
back.
Yeah,
I just don't like it being dark that early.
Hey, Safe Auto offers Pennsylvania State minimum car insurance for less than 70 cents a day. Visit safeauto.com or call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Play it safe with Safe Auto. Coming up, every loss this team has creates more drama and excitement for your team. It's the John Kincaid Show here on the Fanatic.
Hey guys, it's Connor Thomas from the John Kincaid Show, and I'm a little tired this morning, but it's not because I was up late watching basketball. I was up late playing Blast Poker on the World Series of Poker Real Money mobile app, brought to you by Harris Philadelphia. Let's deal you in fast PA, and the best part about it is you can do it any time of the day. You can put your skills to the test even as late as midnight, like I was up last night. You can win your share of up to $300,000 with these Super Turbo Texas Hold'em tournaments. Just download the app or head to WSOP.com and get $50 of free play on deposit using promo code DIAMOND. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or over in NPA to gamble. No one to stop before you start. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Connor Thomas from the John Kincaid Show. I always chuckle at that.
He knows where he belongs.
This is Connor Thomas from the John Kincaid Show.
He introduces himself to people that way also. Just on the street, yeah. Like, we were out in Las Vegas, and there was, an attractive woman that he saw, and he just walked up and said, "Hi, I'm Connor Thomas from the John Kincaid Show." And she said, "I don't give a
Oh, wow, it's terrible that she
said
that. Yeah,
that's what she said. I didn't
say said that.
I don't give a
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Robert has a violation on Connor, though. Connor's wearing a Phillies hoodie? You mean the team that he literally trashes and doesn't root for?
Ooh.
Why is Connor wearing Phillies gear? Is there like a moratorium now that he gets to jump back on the bandwagon and be a fan again?
That's not fair.
After abandoning them last year?
That's not fair.
I just think he thought they weren't going to come back.
No,
he was out.
No, he said he was out on the Phillies.
Right.
He said they're done. They're finished.
Because he's such a fan, he didn't want to get hurt anymore. That's what it is.
So Connor's back on, Jamie, next year? Like, you know, you sort of speak for the fans. You let him back on?
Yeah.
You don't look at him with a side eye, though?
It's been a rough decade.
You don't look at him with a side eye, though? That he's a guy.
I don't really judge people during this last decade. It's been rough.
Can we focus on the fact that he ended up being right?
He was right. It was the easy pick that he would be right.
Like, how is this any different than me saying, like, being pissed off that the Eagles won a meaningless football game and screwing up their draft position?
You're not out on them. He didn't even watch.
Oh,
he was saying, I'm not even watching.
Yeah, I can't defend
that. That's different. You can't defend that.
And there's nothing really else going on.
It's completely different. Exact. There's completely different.
Sorry, though.
I'll get back in on that. You're letting him in?
Yeah, let him
in. Okay.
Yeah, he's good.
See, I look at fans like that and always look at them side eye like, okay.
He's a big Carlos Correa guy, so when he's here, you got to let him in.
So when things go bad.
He's got his Andrew Knapp jersey.
I don't have rules when it comes to fandom. You want to be a fan, be a fan.
Being a fan doesn't mean it's optional, is it?
Well, yeah, because he's put up with the pain Connor has. The pain, the 10 years. He's only 27 years old. He hasn't seen anything since he was 12, 15 years old. Like, he's hurting.
Bob, he saw the best era of Phillies baseball that we've seen in our lifetime.
Yeah.
He hasn't lived through the pain that you and I have.
Well, you know, I don't want the pain that we had on anybody.
Oh, I do. I want him to have.
Yeah, see, I'm more mature.
This is the most pathetic pissing contest I've ever heard.
The 90s sucked.
I want him to have it. I want him to have that. Jamie's had a little bit more of it. Hey, every loss that the Colts suffer pushes them closer to missing the playoffs. That would guarantee a pick in the top 18 selections. So remember, if all three teams, Miami, Indianapolis, and Philadelphia missed the postseason, you hold three picks in the top 18 guaranteed. How awesome is that? How impactful will that be? But who would have ever guessed that right now the Eagles' own draft pick in the first round has the chance to be the worst of the bunch? There's a clear path that potentially the Eagles' pick could end up being the worst of the three, and that would shock me. By the way, Indianapolis is really enjoying the Carson Wentz experience. Despite Rob Motti, really, I gotta congratulate Rob. Because he should be the defense team. If Carson ever gets accused of a crime or something, he needs Rob Motti, attorney at law. Because Rob can spin anything in Carson Wentz being the Carson Wentz's favor.
Yeah,
I'm joking around.
I saw him trying to spin the smart decision to throw that interception.
Frank Reich didn't think it was a smart decision.
Yeah, that's Carson
for
you.
Isn't that pretty exciting, though? You're going to be, as long as the Colts don't make the playoffs, you're guaranteed to have three picks in the top 18 of the draft.
It's pretty sexy.
It's really sexy.
Now, the Colts' remaining schedule is kind of up and down.
Nebulous.
Yeah, so Jets, we all laugh at that. Jaguars, okay, two laughables. But then you go Bills, Buccaneers. Tough ones. Then you go Texans, laughable. Patriots, you never know with the Patriots. Cardinals, Raiders, Jaguars.
That's not easy. So, well, Jags is easy.
Yeah, Jags is.
But
so,
I mean,
it kind of looks like
win,
a 500-ish.
They're going to win like 7 or 8.
Yeah. Yeah, somewhere
gonna,
around
if
there.
If they win 7, though, that draft pick's going to be like 16.
Yeah.
So Carson made them worse?
Wow.
How about that?
Well, he made them a lot worse than Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers,
a guy that was a step away from retirement.
And Phillip Rivers is a competent. You talk about game manager last year. That's what he was for them. He was a competent game manager. They won the game with defense, and they won the game by running the football and an effective short passing game.
Yeah, you know, it was the perfect go away year for Rivers. It really was, because the Colts needed him to do exactly what he did. And exactly what he did do was the kind of game that he could only do you know, because of his age and all. So I did look at that last year saying, although he probably wanted to go out in San Diego, the fact that he went to Indy, did what he did, and played the way he played and was able to go out the way he wanted, I thought it was used perfectly.
Now, I'm trying to figure this one out, though. Are there actually talk of wild card for the Eagles? Are people actually...
I saw somebody bring it up at a press conference yesterday whose name you just mentioned a minute
ago. Rob did that?
Yeah.
A wild card?
They're only one game out,
oh.
I think is how the question went.
By the way, I heard our own Tyrone Johnson yesterday on the Mike Messinelli show. Tyrone says if they win against the Chargers, they're making the playoffs. And I heard it, and he repeated it because Jen made him repeat it. And Ty goes, if they beat the Chargers to go to 4-5, they will make the playoffs. Now, he's saying sweep Washington, sweep Giants, beat the Jets. That's the 9 wins. And they're 9-8.
You can't assume any of those.
I don't think you can assume that they go 5-0 against those bad teams.
Absolutely not.
No, how can you? I mean,
Ty, I like Ty being optimistic, though.
Look, you could be 3-5 and say they've played bad football. They're better than this, and they could do what Ty laid out. I've seen nothing from this team that lends me to believe anything playoff wise.
Pat's rolling his eyes, it seems like, in there. Look, he's trying to be, you see, unlike Connor with the Phillies, Tyrone Johnson is trying to be a good soldier and create some, you know, positive energy for the Eagles, Pat. And
Billy Mumfrey was a cockeyed optimist.
And you're one of those guys. You're a positive force in society,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, I would say I'm absolutely a beacon of positivity.
We can hear it in your voice.
No.
My nickname is Sunshine Mary, and I'm not even going that far.
I respectfully disagree with that assessment.
Sunshine Mary.
That's what Anthony calls me.
Oh, there you go. Mike and Del Ran is sunshine in our lives. Mike, good morning. You're on The Fanatic.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Pat, has Travis Fulgham played a snap yet in the NFL?
Oh, wow.
Keep a track of that lunch, Pat. That's all, buddy. Listen, I'm in a good mood today.
I'm not anymore, Mike.
I agree with Pat. I agree with Tyrone. Not only do I agree with Tyrone, I just want to be the first guy that says it now. The hot takes of all hot takes. The Eagles are going to win out. Go Birds!
Wow.
Mike,
the drugs are kicking in early.
You know, I love that he gets on me about my bad take that I bring up literally weekly.
You do, yeah.
I update you weekly on it. He brings up my bad take, and then he has the audacity to say that on the air.
By the way,
oh,
now,
Mike, I can't wait.
By the way,
you to keep calling up?
What is the moratorium? Like, is there a moratorium on how long it takes somebody to pay off a bet?
Pat and I are still waiting on burritos.
I'm waiting on Tasty.
Oh, you know what? I thought of that the other day.
Yeah, when are we going to lunch?
Yeah,
Tasty Cake Dom.
What do you say, Taste Cake?
On Aaron Nola. I have not heard from Tasty Cake Dom, and I have not seen any buttercream cupcakes.
All I'm saying is Edmonds Eddie pays up right away.
So yeah. Edmonds Eddie.
Tasty Cake Dom.
Doesn't do it?
We don't hear from him.
Edmonds is from New York. You would, you turncoat.
Not a turncoat. He just pays up his bets.
Tasty Cake Dom has honestly been hiding out, and there's a case of Tasty Cake. Sort of like with
Brooklyn.
From the Flyer. Edmonds is...
Yeah,
I would never have known that was
founded in 1898 in Brooklyn.
Wow.
By William Entman.
We'll say Entman.
Wait a minute, it was a real name?
Yeah. According to Wikipedia,
Billy Entman.
Old Billy Entman.
There you go. You know, College Ave student loans are the best, and if you've got a high school senior, you need to visit collegeave.com, the emotional support system that will help guide you through the college journey from start to finish. And it's the most important part about it. How are you going to pay for it? I was over in the land of...
Peter Tasty Cake will give you a loan.
There you go.
He's a good man.
I remember, Bob and I remember when we were kids, every single Flyer goal was, you know, Bobby Clark over to Reggie Leach, drive, scores for a case of Tasty Cake.
Would they actually get them?
Yes. And they had to say a case of Tasty Cake.
So Reggie Leach would get a box of Tasty Cakes after the game?
They'd show them in his locker. They'd show like the stack of I guess Reggie scored 50.
Yeah,
and I remember a picture of his locker being stacked with Tasty Cake cases.
Did they get the choice of their own Tasty Cake?
They really didn't explain it.
Don, well, these are the questions that needed to be asked.
Gene Hart and Don Earl, they did the...
Because if Bobby Clark was a butterscotch crimpet guy and Reggie's a jelly crimpet guy, do they get what they want?
Or talk about no honor.
Just generic Tasty Cakes.
I think after the game they were throwing down Tasty Cakes, smoking cigarettes, and drinking beer.
Yes.
I mean, that's the way it was back then.
Drinking some beer in there. That's every goal call, though.
Giving them, Tasty Cakes.
They had to... every single goal call. That was that they had to do that. So every single big goal in the Flyers Stanley Cup era.
You mean big goal or just goal?
Any goal. But like, so every single goal that was scored in the Stanley Cup era that was called on the radio was, or I think it was television also, because they did the simulcast. So it was, he scores for a case of Tasty Cake. Right in. It was great.
Marketing,
yeah.
Yeah, we're still talking about it. 50 years later.
Tasty Cake Dom just called, and he said he promises that he's going to get those cupcakes. That's what he's told Connor.
All of a sudden, you bring up his arch rival, Entman Zeddy, and
see
that, he calls right up.
Entman Zeddy, though. Hey, again, Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. I'm not going to bring a suit on Tasty Cake Dom, but we're thinking about it.
Nah, he'll pay up. He's a good man. Yeah,
visit paworkinjury.com. Maybe Thursday.
Throw in some witchy treats if they're left over, Dom.
Maybe Thursday for lunch. A Thursday lunch. Get you guys your burritos, maybe. Maybe.
I like free burritos.
There you go. In Cooney's Corner, Bob says it's time for the shift.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
So, it came up yesterday in our conversations when we found out Joel Embiid wasn't playing. The roll of the eyes, the here we go again talk. But if you think about it through the years, since the process began, okay, so we're talking, God, what, 8, 10 years ago, whatever it may have been.
Oh, boy.
Since the process began, there's been different coaches, right? There's been different GMs. There's even been a whole different medical staff. What's the one thing that has stayed constant throughout this whole process thing?
Somebody signing the paychecks?
It's the ownership group. Exactly. The ownership group. So through coaches, through GMs, obviously through different players, through different medical staffs.
When you say medical staffs, like,
so they got rid of their whole medical staff during this process. They got rid of one and they brought in another one.
Haven't the Eagles done this like 3 times? The
Eagles have done it also, yeah. What's changed? What has changed? We still don't hear about injuries. We still don't know what happens with injuries. It's still very quiet on that front. Joel Embiid is still doing load management to the same degree that he did when you had somebody else's GM and somebody else before that as GM and somebody else's coach before this coach. It's like, for us, I'm almost saying, for us to think things are going to change, well, that's dumb on us, because ultimately I think the ownership group are the ones making the call. And they're the ones that are okaying load management or suggesting to new medical staffs that load management for him as well. Or because all these little outside things that happen, the Markelle Fultzes, the Ben Simmons. Can I directly relate that to the ownership group? No, that's hard to do. But it's the one thing that hasn't changed and either has the clumsy handling of so many different things hasn't changed. There's different PR groups that have come and gone. And I love their PR group that they have there now. I just wonder, like, why are we expecting things to change as long as Josh Harris and company are in charge? I don't think it's going to.
Jamie, what does this tell me?
Hello?
What's this tell me about Doc Rivers? What does this tell me about Daryl Morey if they're being, if two of the most guys who are supposed to be, like, senior difference makers at their position are being potentially led around by the nose by ownership?
I think in terms of like injury and load management stuff, the front office might not have as much of a say as we would hope. But what's changed? They have stability in the front office. I believe Daryl Morey and Elton Brand are doing a really good job presented with what they have to work with. I mean, you look at Mike Scott becoming George Niang, Dwight Howard becoming Andre Drummond.
Those are two upgrades.
Seth Curry for Josh Richardson is one of the most underrated trades in the last 20 years in the NBA. I still don't know what the hell the Mavericks were thinking. So there's stability, whereas before it was Brett Brown was navigating one of the most important drafts of the last decade. You had Brian Colangelo and his wife dishing company secrets on Twitter. Before that.
I would have loved to have been here for that story.
It was wild.
Oh, I would have loved it.
So think of... There's stability.
Yeah, I agree.
With those two?
I've said it. Go from Maury on down. I'm fine. It's beyond
that. Oh, yeah, sure.
Like, think of all the crap that has gone on with this ownership group. Right? I mean, you had the false burner accounts. You've had two number one draft picks.
I just want to be out of this building.
Didn't want to play basketball here. Right?
Yes.
You've had injuries to your two number one draft picks that made them sit out. No, I'm sorry, three. Nerlens Noel had to sit out a year. Joel Embiid sat out 2 years.
2 years.
Ben Simmons sits out a year because of injuries sustained during the offseason or in training camp.
You could even argue, by the way, that Markelle Fultz sat out a year.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He played, three or four games, but it was like started two in the regular season or whatever to begin the season, but he was horrible, and then he didn't come back until the back end of the regular season.
I mean, it's unbelievable the stories that we've gone through with this ownership group. And I'm not just... Look, every organization has injuries and this and that and the other. That's what happens in major organizations.
Well, how can we blame the ownership group, though? We can't blame
it. I'm not saying blame.
No, it just says...
I'm not saying blame. I'm saying there's one common factor here, and when all the rules kind of stay the same, it's silly for us to expect something different. So my point being, last night when Joel Embiid sits out game 7 for load management, we roll our eyes, I can't believe it, but why should we expect different? Because it's been the same under this ownership group for 10 years now.
So Doc Rivers takes a job where he just doesn't even get to...
Well, and I can't say that. Like, he gets to do...
No, but I mean, if he's being told when his player can play...
Well, yeah, I mean...
Then he's to me, he's being led around by the nose.
Well, it's probably the right thing.
I don't think it's the right thing.
I don't think he can play 82 games
ever. It hasn't gotten him out of the second round, so I don't like what they're doing.
Yeah, but if he's not ready for that second round, then it's...
We don't know that he wouldn't be.
Yeah, but you can just watch him and know. He's never going to be healthy.
Like, 100% healthy. I don't want to say Doc's being led around by the nose. Like, you always have to answer to somebody. Doc answers to somebody. Daryl Morey answers to somebody. And it's the ownership group. It's not going to change. Like, Brett Brown, I told you guys this before, he would have a thing in his office, and the players would have a red light, a green light, or a yellow light, whether they could go or not.
Did they have to stand there and then...
Yeah, it was like, stop, go. So it was,
the solution is having a superstar that's never hurt.
What's that?
And the only other solution is having a superstar centerpiece that doesn't get hurt. And there's no chance of that. So
and if Embiid hadn't gotten hurt, they never would even have been able to draft him.
Oh, no. the best part that came in this process was a total accident.
It's unbelievable. There you go. If they played that Squid Games red light, green light game from episode 1, not giving anything away, would Pat wins?
I don't know.
Pat's the most likely. You know, red light, green light. You played that as a kid.
Yeah, but I haven't seen Squid Games.
They play red light, green light.
When they just kill you if you fail?
If you fail, you might not survive. You'd win.
I think I'd do pretty well hiding
out of this
behind
show,
somebody.
Out of this show, you'd win. I've seen you dance.
With you.
I've seen you dance. I've seen you move. I think you win.
I don't want to die.
I've seen him sleep now.
Jamie, red light, green light, could you...
Do you have to hide?
No, you just have to
stop and go.
You can't move at all. Wherever you're...
I don't know. Pat's all hopped up on sugar. He's pretty twitchy.
I'd see this thing. I can't wait to hide behind Jamie. Because he'll be the first one to go. He'll be off balance.
Jamie would be the one a little off balance. Yeah.
Wait, what was the rules of red light, green light? We never played that when I was a kid.
Someone has their back turned. And then they turn around on you fast. And anybody who's still moving or who can't stand still.
But they have to yell red light? Turn around, it's automatic red light.
No, it's green light when they turn around.
Okay.
So then you get closer to them to where you're going to get up to tag them.
And then they turn around
and go, red light. And you have to stop. And everyone's got to stop. I think Pat wins. No, about coach.
By the way, it is not surprising at all that Bob never played red light, green light.
No, he was out,
He's out dribbling with basketball.
There were third grade girls to meet.
Yeah.
Kidding me?
He's sitting there just dribbling a basketball.
Bob was over in third grade. He was over at the seventh grade girls. You're just dribbling a basketball,
I was on the eighth grade team in third grade.
How do you think he got this job?
How would they let a third grader on the eighth grade team?
Think about it, John. I was just that good.
No, that means no, the 8th grade team sucked.
No, the 8th grade team won the championship.
No, you didn't have enough 8th grade players?
No, I don't know why I was. I was just a little kid that was in the gym all the time. They probably felt sorry for me and threw me on the team. But I remember we won the championship, and they were getting pictures taken, and I didn't go because I was embarrassed. I was only on 3rd grade, and my teacher's like, you're on the team. Go get your picture taken.
Yeah. I mean, you had
Sister
to
be. Mary Leonard. God rest her soul, Sister Mary Leonard.
So there's no proof of this.
I might have pictures at home.
Okay. Yeah, I think we need some proof.
I think Kevin Killian was the captain of that.
We didn't ask for the whole roster. We just like basically you mentioning the roster just proves you were at every game. You were a fan.
No, I swear to God, I had a uniform and everything that I wore around the house.
Season tickets and being like, I was on the Phillies.
I'm just telling you.
The great Don DiGiulio from St. Joe's was my CYO coach.
Oh, is that right?
Before Doc. And Doc wouldn't play me at any critical points.
He told me at the thing he weren't that good.
Wouldn't play. No, it's terrible. He wouldn't play me. He
is goes, this crossover going to end soon?
And Dad did not stand up for me at all. He said maybe if you practice more, he'd play you.
That's a good father.
Fair point.
No.
Yes.
No.
Did you suck?
I didn't suck, but I was not good.
Well, there you go.
How about that? I wasn't.
Doc's out here to win.
Yes. 7th and 8th grade CYO games.
Yes.
That's jackassery.
Not.
Reputation's on the line.
Yeah.
His reputation's on the line.
Street pride.
How old was Doc?
Street cred.
Doc was, so if I was in 7th or 8th grade, he was like first year of college.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, then I understand it because you get a little cred when you go into the frat house and you
cred,
say, by the way, my
brother didn't play.
My team gosh. Coaching,
yeah, I didn't play my brother.
He sucked. I didn't play my brother because he sucked and he didn't shut up.
Hey, that was true. That was true. There's a danger in a rebuild. Don't get overconfident that it's going to work. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. My friends from Window Nation have got you covered. They care about keeping the cold air outside of your house. That's what you got to worry about when your windows are leaky, when it's leaking in the cold air. Walk by your windows tonight. Do you feel a draft when it's cold outside? Window Nation wants to fix that with the best deal in town. Go to windownation.com and do your window shopping. They've got every size window, every style window you're looking for, every color window you're looking for, and a great deal. Buy two windows, get two free. Plus, no money down, no payments, and no interest for 24 months. Window Nation's best offer of the year is going to come to an end. It's November. See, you got to get those windows fixed now. And you're not paying for it for 2 years. So around Thanksgiving time of 2023, you will have benefited by lower energy prices and more because you're taking care of yourself with the best windows you can get from Window Nation. You just got to make the call. 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 a.m. hour. The John Kincaid Show is brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You can download it at parkscasino.com/PA. Use my promo code Kincaid. Get a risk-free bet of up to $500 when you do. As we start this 7 o'clock hour, I would like to thank Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. I christened the new air fryer yesterday.
For the first time.
It was spectacular.
So easy.
Some Wegmans chicken breasts. Put them in. Asked the guy, said how long. Jamie said 20 minutes. 375.
Flip it at 10.
Flip it at 10. They were exquisite.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Crispy outside, juicy inside. Awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome.
It's hard to go wrong with that thing.
And our friend Vince from the YouTube crew, he had a free casino air fryer. He's like, don't go buy an air fryer. I got a free casino air fryer.
He's good people.
So for the price of lunch, I said, I got an air fryer, and it's awesome.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you, Vince.
Now your responsibility as an air fryer owner is to tell every single person you know that you have an air fryer and what you did in it.
Okay, you have to. I need the.
So please keep us up to date.
How about the patties of? I have some Wegmans hamburger patties.
I haven't done the hamburger yet, but
I want to try that.
Everything works.
And I got a strip steak.
Oh, strip steak, yeah.
In there, I mean, do you do the strip steak?
I haven't done the steak either, but I would imagine it's fine. It's
I don't have a grill yet.
It's just a smaller convection oven that speeds things up.
Mr. Marzano is doing the working on the back deck this weekend, so there's no grill or anything, so I might try it inside. So we'll check that out. Hey, the danger of a rebuild. I keep talking to people about and hearing people talk about, well, the Eagles are rebuilding. And this is a rebuilding season. But I got a cautionary tale for you about rebuilds. That, because I think when you hear the word rebuild, you think momentary pain. This is going to be a moment in time. We're going to suck it up for a couple years. And then, boy, the fruits of the rebuild are going to pay off. I present to you the New York Giants and the Washington football team. The Washington football team has been in a rebuild for 3 years. Three complete seasons. The Giants, two complete seasons. This is the third. So Washington's actually on their fourth year, and the Giants are on their third year. Washington won the division last year. They thought they were onto something. They're 2-6. The Giants are 2-6. And in this year, when guys like myself, and I raise my hand, are bitching and complaining about the Eagles in a rebuilding year, they're still better than Washington and the Giants, who've been at this for 3 or 4 seasons. So when I hear about how big and critical this offseason is, it gives me the shakes. And honestly, it makes me nervous because you really got a hit because Washington and the Giants suck. Those organizations are terrible. And they're going to have to rebuild again, it looks like. And I don't know how. I don't know how Washington's going to have to do that after they put all that investment into the draft and getting all those talented players, and they're just not making it work. It's an interesting year.
Well, that's the scary thing about a rebuild. It's almost like you go into a car and you look to do a tune-up, and then you realize, uh-oh, this is bad. Uh-oh, that's bad. And before you know it, the engine's out. And there's so many more things that you need to do that you didn't notice before until you started looking at what you have. Rebuild to me, yeah, you're right, John. Rebuild to me is kind of like, all right, you're going to take a couple shots to the jaw, but in the end, you're gonna come out better. But the scary thing is, once you take a few shots to the jaw, you don't know how you're going to react. And so,
you may actually regress.
If you don't have the quarterback that can do it, if you don't have the... Imagine if you don't have the quarterback or the coach for this rebuild right now. That's not a rebuild anymore. That's an overhaul. Because now you have to go out and get another quarterback. You have to go out and get another coach. If you're not satisfied with what either one of these guys is, and that's just two positions.
That's just two.
That's not right, even exactly. Talking about this defense, which seems to be fried in a lot of places. So... Yeah, I mean, rebuild and total overhaul, they're not too far off, in my opinion, with this team right now.
I bought in because I had Washington winning the NFC East again this year. So I bought in that their rebuild was headed in the right direction, and I really liked what they had. They were fourth in points allowed last year in the NFL. I mean, they were a top four defense last year. What the hell, Jamie? I mean, these guys have gone through years of waiting. You have friends down there, too, that are...
Oh, they're miserable.
...fans of Washington.
I mean, we don't have to look that far to see why they're failing. Daniel Jones and Ryan Fitzpatrick? I mean...
Well, Taylor Heineke's getting the blame
for
this.
Well, yeah,
I'm
sure, but the plan was Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, Dave Gettleman and... I don't even know who Washington's GM now is. It's Martin Mayhew, who just took over... before that, it was kind of Ron Rivera and then Scott McLuhan and then Bruce Allen and Mike Shanahan. They've had instability at the GM position. They haven't had a quarterback answer. Daniel Jones was a laughable draft pick at the time, even more so now. The guy has more turnovers than he does touchdowns. I mean...
But you're ahead of them with Jalen Hurts.
Sure. And this is all...
A guy that you've already thrown the talent on, and all of us are.
So imagine
at some point we'll probably do the same.
How much better it'll be when they have a real deal quarterback. That's why I think this all points in the direction of them getting a proven veteran quarterback, because Howie Roseman's tenure is going to be tied to this next move. And I think it's too risky to put it in a Matt Corral's lap or a Malik Willis's lap. I think he's going to do everything in his power to go get a veteran proven guy so that he can keep a job.
And that would make a lot of sense, too, because of the fact that he needs to keep a job at this point. I mean, I think the fan base is sick of him. I think a lot of the fan base wants him out at this point. And you got to figure, even though Jeffrey Lurie is extremely loyal to him for, you know, the I can't quit you mentality that he has, even his patience has got to be wearing thin. Obviously, beating Detroit the way they did will help curtail the criticism for a week. But even he's got to be sitting there going, is this the right guy?
I mean, think of what you're teetering on. That's a great point, Pat. Think of what you're teetering on here. You're teetering on not having your starting quarterback, your future, your franchise quarterback. Save going out and getting somebody, like Jamie said, and that's, you know, doable because of all the assets you do have. You might not have the head coach or the defensive coordinator moving forward that you really wanted, that are the people for this job. And now, as Pat just brought up, and your GM is on the hot seat. You talk about teetering on blowing it up. My God. You're talking about the three biggest positions of a football organization, and you might not have the guys for the future here.
But if Jamie's point comes true and the Eagles win 7+, then
his seat's not that hot.
Then Howie's seat isn't hot. There's a chance Hurts is the quarterback next year.
I don't think so.
Wow. The coaches will be here.
The coaches will definitely
be
here.
The coaches will all be here.
Yeah, Howie C. will be.
And there's a chance Hurts will be the quarterback next year. I really believe that.
I'd be shocked. I'd be pretty surprised.
If they go 7-10 or if they go 8-9, Jalen Hurts is the quarterback next year.
I don't think so necessarily.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I think it comes down to style points and throws made and stuff like that. As long as Dave Gettleman's in the division, Howie Roseman's got to be feeling great. I mean, you know,
what about the Giants, though? The Giants.
Well, that's Gettleman.
The Reds, Washington,
yeah, I mean, they're going to have to go all in on a quarterback. You know, they're one of those teams that's going
to
be.
They get two first-round picks, so they have to be.
They're going to have to probably draft a guy, if not getting that same veteran market the Eagles are going to be in. The Giants are the same thing. I mean, you're going to have three teams potentially chasing that quarterback all within the division this year. Because you're nothing without a quarterback in this NFL.
I mean, it truly is incredible.
You could have Jalen Hurts at quarterback next year. I'm on Jamie's side. I don't think he will be. But if you do, and you could have Nick Sirianni as your head coach next year, and you could have Howie Roseman as your GM next year, that doesn't mean you're any closer to solving the problems that you have right now, in my opinion.
If you win seven games, I don't think there's any chance there's a coaching staff change.
No.
I don't think there's any chance there's a coordinator change.
No.
I don't think there's any chance. And I'm going to tell you, I think that Jalen Hurts is back.
I don't. That's where I disagree. I think the coaches would remain the same.
We need
if there's an opportunity to go get a better quarterback, how he's going to do it.
Pat, seven, do you think that matters for the trifecta of coaching staff, coordinators, and quarterback or not? Coming back.
Good question. I don't. It should matter. You would think it would. I mean,
if this team wins 7 or 8, how about if this team finishes in second place in the division?
I don't think that matters. But I think seven is respectable enough. Doug Peterson won 7 games. It's really the way they win, though. It's not necessarily the win for me. It's how they win the games.
Okay.
If you're squeaking by bad teams like New York and like Washington, and you're winning, that's not as impressive as what they did to Detroit. Even though it's an 0-8 Detroit team, if you do that to some of these teams down the street, they're down the schedule, that's more impressive to me, and that's more indicative of the coaching staff turning this thing around.
All right, here's a question for all of you guys.
Sure.
Is there a chance that they could win 7 games and you still say, yeah, but he's not a good head coach? And I was just saying to Jamie on the break, I don't have it out for Sirianni
at
all. My book is still wide open.
If he wins 7, he gets a second chance.
I agree with that. But is there a possibility that we could all say, yeah, but he's not an NFL head coach?
Yes.
Like right now, after 8 games, are you guys leaning more towards, okay, this guy could be a head coach in this league for, I don't know, 5-6 years? Or are you more leaning towards, well, they tried?
No, I'm leaning more towards they tried.
I wonder if we could be that way after a 7-win season is just my question.
If he takes Jalen Hurts to win 7 games, I think he's got 2 more years.
I definitely think he's got another one. There's no question I think he'd be back. Hey, enjoy the great atmosphere of the outdoor beer garden on Sunday with a fantastic time hanging out with Derek Gunn and Devon Gibbons for the Fanatic pregame show live from the Gatehouse in the Navy Yard before Sunday's Birds LA game. It's $150 a pair value. It's an amazing deal. We're going to tell you how you can win them coming up a little bit later on in the show. And if you're commuting, take advantage of savings and flexibility with NJ Transit's FlexPass that includes 20 one-way tickets at a 20% discount. You can get details at njtransit.com/FlexPass. Jamie Lynch in the Lynchpin tells us maybe it's not a funny matter after all.
This is the Lynchpin.
Yeah, Sirianni, you know, on the flower talk and fertilizer and all that was obviously a talking point of us locally and nationally.
Nationally, everywhere.
Yeah, on any football show last week. And you understand why. It sounded ridiculous. Immediately the reports came out, even Zach Berman, some other guys that cover the team said, nah, it wasn't received that poorly. You know, there were some F-bombs going on. And Bob brought up maybe it was the comic relief they kind of needed. I thought Sirianni should have leaned into it and come out with a sunflower shirt on or something. Regardless, watching Jason Kelce in the locker room, now there is a tinge of laughter to it, but I think the players responded to it, as crazy as it sounds. Here's Jason Kelce real quickly after the game.
It's hard to win every week. Great team win. Offense and defense both showed up. We put it together here and there. Let's keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, man. That's
right. Keep that roots going, baby!
Now that's cool.
That felt dead. That felt dead. Nobody laughed. Nobody did anything.
Because I think they're trying to hide it.
I think they're mocking him.
I think he kind of laughed. But if that rallies the players, who cares? Like, if they're rallying around the coach sounding like an idiot,
yeah, but
I don't
it doesn't
care.
Mean they're buying into it. It means that they're mocking him. They mocked him. Everybody was uncomfortable when he made fun of it.
Well, did you see Sirianni's locker room speech? I don't care what he does in a press conference. I care how he talks to that locker room. His post-game speech was pretty good. And, you know, I saw some guys that were attentive, paying attention, smiling. You know, he talked about dominating the Detroit Lions. He's got that room. Like, I know it sounded ridiculous.
I don't believe he's got that room.
I think he does.
Wait a minute.
I think Sunday told you he's got that room.
We're 8 games into a year, and he's already been openly called out by players behind the microphone.
More Jonathan Gannon than Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, but I mean, that's his responsibility. Well, it's his coaching staff.
That's the defensive coordinator. Sunday told me that he's got the room.
Wow. I think that was mocking. I listened to that.
Doesn't matter.
He's mocking them.
It can work.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the room. They're mocking their head coach.
Because he sounded like an idiot.
Yes.
But it can be a unifying front amongst the players.
Yeah, coach is an idiot. That's all rallied around.
Yeah, but I don't think they think he's an idiot. I think they think he's going through learning curves, and he sounded like a dope talking about fertilizer and flowers. If that creates some camaraderie amongst the team, and they can bust his stones about it behind closed doors.
I will tell you this, Jamie.
That's a good thing.
There isn't one locker room I've ever been in pro sports where players are like, well, the manager's learning. The coach is learning. We're okay. He's on a learning curve. We're okay with that.
No, they're not
I've never heard a pro athlete that has been like, they expect the guy to show up and be ready.
And they're 3-5, which is about where most people thought they'd be.
Oof.
Yeah, I really don't know where to go from here. I think that, you know, I even said earlier in the week, or after he said it last week, that maybe it is like a comical relief and it brings the players together like, oh my God, this guy's bat bleep crazy. And they laugh and they get more together as a team and have more fun with it.
I think that's what that says.
The thing is, that wasn't his strategy. When he's delivering that speech, he's not an evil genius going, I'm going to unite them by coming off like an idiot.
But who cares? If it works, it works.
It all comes down to, though, can he coach? Like, can he coach during the game? Like, that was good. If they unified him, okay. They played a horrible team. Absolutely horrible team on Sunday. And he ran the ball and they were able to win by just running a football. I just still have to see the X's and O's and all that. I really do. I really have to see that he schemes something up that shows what his team advantage is for that game.
Pat, when coach comes out with one of those speeches to us, you tend to be the person that mocks it, and you're trying to create unity. You're not trying to mock coach.
I subscribe to the let's all rally together against a common enemy, and that enemy is that ass idea. Clown, Coach Camille.
That's a great idea.
Wow.
So maybe Jamie's onto something here.
He could be.
That's what you try to do with Coach.
Yeah,
Coach, and you understand
Coach
that, right?
Repeatedly says ass a lot of clown. Stupid stuff.
Coach, you understand that, though, right? That's Pat's agenda. He's not mocking you.
Maybe there's a method to my madness.
Yeah, Coach has a lot of dumb stuff, and we laugh and chuckle about it. But it brings us closer together in a unified front towards Coach.
Exactly.
It is.
We all unify against that
Coach Sirianni.
Like, Kelsey chuckled, but...
The whole room was dead. That fell flat.
I mean,
everybody was completely uncomfortable.
What are they supposed to do? They're leaders. The leader's talking.
You're supposed to laugh. If it's funny, you're going. If he landed a funny, everyone laughs. It was dead.
Can you? But it wasn't a like.
That landed like a dead fish.
I read that totally different than you.
Describe the funny. Like you're in that locker room. You think it's funny. Go.
You laugh.
No, blame. Like that's your laugh.
Yes.
Okay.
Something like that.
It's not like a. Yeah, the team leader's breaking it down. I mean,
and everyone
it's not like,
literally was silent.
That's the way it should be.
I thought I heard a chuckle in there.
It was supposed to be a joke. Man. You're supposed to get a reaction. He was waiting for the reaction.
I don't think he was waiting for a reaction. I think it was, this is how I'm breaking it down. We're busting our coaches' stones. This is fun.
Let's hear what Jeff in Washington has to say. Jeff, good morning. You're on the Fanatic.
Good morning, gentlemen. Listen, God help me. I never thought I'd say this, but John is... I can't even say it.
You don't even want to say it?
Don't do it, Jeff.
I can't.
Say it, Jeff. You know it. Say it, Jeff.
John is...
not wrong?
John's not wrong. Okay, there we go. John is not wrong. Listen, the schedule for this squad, the schedule is so soft. They're going to win four games by accident. By accident, they're going to win four games. They'll beat Washington at home. They'll beat the Giants at home. The Saints are a train wreck, especially without Jameis Winston. You talk about Jalen Hurts not being an NFL quarterback. Taysom Hill is not an NFL quarterback.
They just beat the Bucs.
No, that was Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
On Sunday. That wasn't Taysom Hill. That was Trevor Siemian that was quarterbacking
right,
that game.
Yeah, because Taysom Hill is hurt.
Yes.
But Sean Payton is in love with Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill.
Yeah, but he's hurt. So it's Trevor Siemian. They just beat the Buccaneers with Trevor Siemian.
By the time we get him, it's going to be Taysom Hill. It's going to be here. We're beating the Saints.
Wow.
We're beating the Broncos. We're probably going to lose to the Chargers next week, but that doesn't really even matter because they're going to win at least four games. Wow. I think they win six.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
Jeff, that'd be incredible.
I know, but think about the schedule. That's all I'm saying.
But guess what? Do you remember the Philly season, Jeff?
Yes.
Remember us talking about how easy the schedule is? Oh, it's an easy schedule. And then you go, well, wait a minute, you're a flawed team.
Yeah.
The Phillies had a two-game lead on the Braves in August, late August.
They also lost one of their best players.
Don't say that to the Braves. The Braves lost far more players than the Phillies lost.
They lost it before the trade deadline and were able to address it.
Seriously.
The Phillies lost it in the heart of a pennant race.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't look at schedule with this Eagles team just yet. Okay, that was a really good win. And
the Jets
and
just beat the Bengals with Mike White on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's a week-to-week league. You can't project ahead that easily.
Yeah, exactly.
Then we
you really
do
can't.
It, right. You can't.
I mean, you can do it week-to-week, but to look ahead to week 13, like I have any clue who's hurt or who's doing
what happens
or if the team's
you
turned on Sirianni or they're planting watermelons outside of the Novacare. You can't project that stuff, so we'll go week to week.
Man, by the way, that Trevor...
watermelon?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
Trevor Siemian, who...
Soil's fertile.
Who is terrible, beat the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
The NFL is the weirdest freaking league ever, and to try and make sense of it for 17 games ahead of time is pointless.
It is why it is the ratings it gets.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Saints. My buddy texted me on Sunday, the Saints are going to beat the Bucs today. And I went, dude, you're absolutely crazy. Sure
and
enough...
did it.
He was absolutely right.
It happened on the Fox show. I think I said it yesterday.
The line was weird. My buddy noticed it. I should have listened to him. I didn't. It's a weird-ass league, the NFL, where weird bleep happens.
That should be the slogan.
Why don't they go with that?
I don't know.
That should be the slogan.
Yeah, right?
And you could have people saying sheesh, but just bleep it out. Be a good slogan. All right, coming up, Adam Schefter tells you where Russell Wilson's willing to go. And it might leave Jamie in a... lump shaking back and forth in the corner. We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. Hey, pro football, college football, the NBA, the NHL, the Park Sportsbook app has got you covered. Everything you're looking to wager on, you've got it. And if you want to do individual games, sort of like fantasy football, where you're betting on player performances and individual performances like that, you will absolutely love the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. There's a risk-free bet of up to $500 waiting for you if you go to parxcasino.com/PA or download the app and use my promo code Kincaid. You will absolutely love it. So much fun to have while you're watching the game. The live in-game wagering is amazing. And those player performances, if you play fantasy sports, why wouldn't you play reality sports with the Parx Casino Sportsbook app? They've been giving boosts all throughout the World Series. There's a big game tonight. Got an opportunity to wager on that. Houston, a slight favorite tonight. Get on in. Use the Parx Sportsbook app. It's the only one that I tell you to check out. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Hopefully you're having a great Tuesday morning. Navigating the roads and the deer and the obstacles out there.
Saw two more this morning.
Saw two dead deer this morning and I saw two live deer.
Oh.
The dead deer on the Schuylkill, I still don't understand.
Yeah, they get their way there somehow.
How did they get to the... But they get to stretches of road nowhere near an exit, and they're on my side coming down.
You think they need an exit to get off?
No, but they're my side coming down. So I'm wondering, how are they falling off cliffs?
Are they finding their way around?
Giant rock cliffs. I don't know if they're falling off.
It's the school district.
By cars. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's global warming, and they're relocating for the school district.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah, like you're in the bougie area of the suburbs. They're in the good Goshen Township.
So would have
they come from parishes too, you know.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, the deer come from parishes. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm a St. Monica's, and they sit there and they talk to each other, you know.
Really?
Deer just like us. They want to.
Yeah, in Jersey, they talk about the exits. Over here, they talk the parishes.
See, we're new at Peter and Paul, so now it's so that's it. So the deer at Peter and Paul.
Yeah,
they're out of. Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
and the more you
guys
know.
You guys are incredible.
The more you know.
You give me so much. Flyers and the Coyotes tonight, 7 o'clock in the Fanatic. Pat Egan says, load up on the Flyers tonight. Are you going to use one of those alternate lines?
I might. Keith Tkachuk's out. Hobby Bourne's out. Shane Doan's out.
Wow.
Yeah. Brad Isbister's out.
Wow. I'm going to use the Parx Sportsbook app then. They got a great offer for you. New customer sign up now. Get your first bet risk-free. Visit parxcasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Kincaid. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. So our own Adam Schefter talking about the Russell Wilson and whether Russell Wilson, who claims that he still wants to be a Seattle Seahawk, he hopes to stay a Seattle Seahawk. But if he is not, he has a full no trade clause. And Adam Schefter identified where Russell Wilson would go if Seattle wanted to part ways with him. He'd part ways and go. He's got two places at the top of his list that he's willing to waive his no-trade clause for, and a potential third. Two of them made sense to me. One of them did not. New Orleans and Las Vegas are the top of his. He's willing to waive the no-trade to go to New Orleans, to go to Las Vegas. And then the third one, Chicago.
Dumb.
Made no sense to me. You know, you're not even gonna.
Matt Nagy's there.
You're not gonna. Matt Nagy's not gonna be. You don't think Matt Nagy's gonna be the coach there next year, do you?
I wouldn't think so.
Nah,
I wouldn't either. Even though they have the same record as the Eagles, he's had a longer time to be there. He's had a longer term, and they're probably gonna want to get Justin Fields his own coach, somebody to be his coach. But Adam, flat out saying he'll waive his no trade clause, Las Vegas and New Orleans. Sean Payton is frothing at the mouth. It's obvious Russell Wilson would love to be with Sean Payton. Sean Payton would love to have Russell Wilson. And he goes there, and those two could work together for the next 6-7 years. And he plays in a dome.
Yeah.
as an older player.
Yeah.
He plays with one of the greatest offensive minds in the game. By the way, the Eagles not on the waived no trade clause list. Playing for the Eagles not exactly something that really inspires some of the biggest names in the game. But Russell Wilson in New Orleans would be a dream for him and Peyton.
Yeah, nice matchup. Yeah. Oh, no question about it.
Ready-made defense.
Yep. Inside is a big factor in my book after spending years in Seattle. That's tough. I mean, that's tough. God bless Tom Brady doing it up in New England and Aaron Rodgers doing it for all the years in Green Bay. That's not easy. Yeah, that list doesn't. The Chicago thing is a little surprising.
Las Vegas also a dome, by the way.
Yeah, Las Vegas a dome.
And it's great.
Las Vegas.
Great conditions. A lot of times you're not playing in bad conditions on the road games either.
Sure. Yeah, you're out west.
He's got a nice setup.
You're not far away from where you are now.
And Sierra be very happy, you know, potentially there.
Yeah, she could probably get her own show there and, you know, set up. And
he says he wants to be a Seattle Seahawk, though.
Yeah, that's great. Let's revisit this conversation at the end of the football season. Because the Seattle Seahawks have a lot to say about this, too.
What do you mean?
I mean, he has the no-trade clause.
He has no trade clause. They have nothing.
Okay, like,
if they want to trade him, he's going to say, I'm going here or there.
Then that could change by the season's end.
He's not coming to the Eagles. He's not choosing this. They don't have anything desirable for him. They don't have a desirable defense. They don't have a desirable.
They have $50 million in cap. Money they
have, get paid anywhere.
Well, yeah, but not every team. I haven't broken down the Saints' payroll. I'm sure they'll figure out a way if they want to. But you know, the Seahawks want something in return, and the Eagles can offer probably the best anyone in the NFL can offer. So you know, we'll revisit this and see where
but
he's at.
He doesn't want to be here.
Well, again, it's October. It just became November. We'll revisit it at the end of the year.
What do you think's changing that would make him change his mind?
Any number of things.
Well, like why?
Who the hell wants to live in Las Vegas?
He'd love living in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
he's going to
a loser organization. That's fine. I mean, you're going to go to the Bears, a loser organization. You're playing out in the cold every
year. What about
New
Orleans?
New Orleans is a worry. That's a desirable place to play.
That's a fun
offensive coach.
But the thing is, he's not going to go. Nick Sirianni's not getting. Russell Wilson's going. Good boy. Let me get a pee. Let Nick Sirianni and I team up for the next.
Then that's
7 years.
That's a serious thing. Like, not only are they coaching for the rest of the season, him and Jonathan Gannon. Not only are they coaching for themselves for the rest of the season, they're coaching for this organization, and it goes directly to what Jamie's saying. Like, if you want Russell Wilson to be here, if you want a big time either free agent or a trade guy, like, you have to present yourself as a winning organization. You have to present yourself as a place that other people want to come to. So as much as they're coaching for their coaching lives, they're also coaching for people around the league to notice them and say, oh, that's a pretty good young head coach. I'll think of going there. And then maybe Russell Wilson does take that off his list of places he went or puts it on the places
and
he
Pat
wants to
Russell
be.
Wilson goes, oh, Philly, Giants, whatever. Nope. I'll just stay. I'll stay here in Seattle. I'll use my no trade clause. You're not going to put me on a bad team. I want to go somewhere I go.
He very well could do that. Or he could want to change in the Philadelphia Eagles organization. Throughout at least my lifetime has been a very desirable location for either free agents or trade targets. Now, granted, a lot of that was the Andy Reid era where, I mean, they were a preeminent team. It wasn't the doldrums of now. But look what Tom Brady did. Like the Bucs were terrible, right? And Tom Brady goes there, and he knows full well that not only do they have weapons that he can utilize on offense, but he being the Tom Brady brand, is a draw. So he gets Gronk out of retirement. All of a sudden, there's some free agents that want to go there. And Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are both very similar in that aspect, where I don't think they're scared off of the Eagles being a rebuilding team or poorly coached, because they're like, well, I'm a draw. You know, free if they have cap space, to which Jamie's talking about, the $50 million in cap space, well, it's not just me. My name will draw top-level free agents like Devontae Adams.
What did the Bucs have?
They had Godwin and Mike Evans, and that was about it.
No, what did they have, though?
Bruce Arians?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think the coach determines everything.
Bruce Arians is a big reason. Tom Brady talks all about it. That was one of the major reasons why he chose Tampa.
For Tom Brady.
And Florida. Playing in sunshine.
He's got Jeter's mansion on the water.
He felt that
income tax.
No, but I think that played into it. But he also felt, too, that playing in Florida... better for old bones, the sun, the good weather.
Well, look, the Eagles are one of the premier franchises in the NFL. Over the last 25, 30 years, they're probably top six.
Top 32?
Top six in terms of wins.
I mean, as we've said, rebuilding can be done quicker in the NFL than a lot of other sports. And the quickest way to rebuild is with a Russell Wilson. If he were, or him or somebody, you know, maybe it's a Derek Carr. Maybe it's an Aaron Rodgers. Whoever it is.
That's what I'm thinking. Or you're going to be able to get a guy that's, you may get a veteran like a Derek Carr.
I like that.
If I'm Derek Carr, I look and I go, huh, Devontae Smith, Quez Watkins, Dallas Goedert, and some decent running backs, plus $50 million and maybe a Derek Stingley Jr. to remake this defense.
I think Derek Carr is a logical discussion.
Well, I can make that work.
I would love Derek Carr.
I do not believe there's a reason that Russell Wilson has already let Adam Schefter and others know who's on his no trade clause.
Well,
in other words, that's where I want to go.
But
he wants to stay, he says.
I'm sure that we can ask Adam about this tomorrow when he joins the program.
We'll ask him.
At 8:10, but
would he waive his no trade clause to go to Anthony's show? I don't think so.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't think
one thing that he's been very vocal about is the fact that offensive line in Seattle has been pretty rough.
It's been terrible.
Well, the offensive line is consistent.
Exactly. The offensive line in Philly is pretty damn
it's
good.
Been
with
terrible.
One of the best.
Then why wouldn't you put it on this list?
Because I don't really believe his list right now. It's adorable he's putting it out the last week of October.
Yeah, that's weird.
No, it's just letting it be
known.
Why
is it even coming out?
No, it's just it's been known.
That means he's gone.
He's already let it be known in the offseason. He let it be known. And then now the Seattle press is all over it because they're like, is he staying? Is he going?
He clearly wants out. This is 2 years in a row.
I think he wants out.
So, you know, I think a lot can change in 2 months. If the Eagles go on a tear here, I'm not thinking they do, but if they win, you know, six of the last eight, Nick Sirianni looks a lot better around the NFL.
John Dornbos joins us today at 9:30. He's going to make all the Eagles' woes disappear. He's a magician, you know that?
In what world?
And if he had some winning tickets, he could sell them on PropSwap because it's your last chance to get in on baseball action with PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets.
All right, let's get this.
You are
smooth. Let's go to Speak for Yourself.
And now, it's time for Bob Cooney's Speak for Yourself. Here's Bob.
All right, we're going to get an earful of Nick Sirianni today, and that's what we had yesterday, and he had a lot of questions to answer, but on a good week. I mean, on a real good week. This is the first, well, after week one, obviously, against Atlanta. But it's the first time in a long time that he's gotten to speak about good news. And yesterday he was asked about the linebacker situation in which Eric Wilson sat out and what his thoughts were going into the game.
With Eric and with the way it went down, you know, Davion was going to play a little bit more, and so was TJ. And then there was a role for Alex in some of the third down areas. And so what it really came down to is we don't have the luxury anymore to dress that many linebackers. So what it came down to was who was going to contribute more on special teams. And Sean has been such a good special teams presence for us these last 8 weeks of the season. And so that was kind of a numbers game there of kind of what happened and why we went there.
Nick. Come here, buddy. It's okay.
You put your arm around him?
This is your team. It's okay. You can say, yeah, Eric Wilson wasn't getting it done for us. Either was Alex Singletary. So Singleton. So we're just sitting them down for now, and we're taking a look at the younger kids. And they played well, and we're happy with what they did. And this is what we're going to do because this is for the improvement of this organization moving forward. Don't sugarcoat it, buddy. It's okay. It's your team. You're allowed to make these decisions.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, we encourage you make these decisions. So it's good. And guess what? The decision you made worked. Play it up, man. Play it up. You played your cards. It worked. Pat yourself on the back. Don't be afraid to sprain your elbow while you're doing so. It was a good move that he made. Come with the linebackers, exactly.
It was like 4 weeks overdue, but yes, a good move.
Yeah, exactly.
So he was then asked, it's about the midway point of the season, and he was asked what he thought of his own self-evaluation.
Yeah, again, I'm just trying to lead with an example of how to get better every day. If I want our guys to get better every single day, then I need to strive for it myself. And that's first holding myself accountable for everything that happens on that field. And so I don't think that I've ever lacked in that. Like, I'm going to be the first one to tell you when it's my fault, just because I know that's important for leadership. And then, really, I mean, I don't have a letter grade on me. You know, I'd love to be 5-3. I'd love to be 8-0. And so I'll keep my letter for myself. In my head.
What letter do you think he has in his head for himself?
B.
Really? What letter would
you... Hearing him talk...
What letter would you give him?
C minus.
All right, Jamie, same questions. What letter do you think he has in his head? What letter would you give him?
I think he's probably got like a B in his head. I'd give him... Give him a B.
How about you, Pat?
I think in his mind, he, I think, B minus, B, B, D plus for me.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit lower in his own head of himself. I think he's kind of tough on himself because he says it all the time. So
it's amazing, yes. Keep telling us that.
Yeah, I think he probably has himself at like a C, and I'm going to go C minus on him so far. He just hasn't done anything that really impresses me yet. You know, I just don't see the game planning that I was looking to see, but, you know, we'll see what happens with that. Okay, the other situation after the linebackers that was kind of interesting on Sunday was the running back situation, where Kenny Gainwell, who we all thought was going to step in after Miles Sanders was out to be the starter, but he wasn't. And he explained that a little bit.
Again, we wanted that first series. We felt good about practice with Boston, and that's why we started with him, and just the week of practice that led up into it. With backs, I think I've said this before, like, it's never going to be something like, hey, this back is having 20 carries, this back has 10, whatever the number is. We're very aware that when a back gets a hot hand, we'll ride that hot hand. That's just been my experience, and that's what we'll continue to do. A guy gets hot, we'll ride the hot hand. So that's kind of how that played out.
Way to go, Nick! That's what I like to hear. That's common sense coaching right there.
Yes.
I don't care the sport. If you're hot, you ride it. Right? Boston Scott was hot early on.
Do you know the Eagles are 7-1 in games Boston Scott gets 10-plus touches?
Is that right?
What the hell?
That's weird.
7-1.
In what world?
In what world?
In bizarro world.
In bizarro world. So, riding the hot hands, whether it's Boston Scott, he was also asked about Jordan Howard. Does he stay up from the practice squad? They made that move. I think I would love Jordan Howard to be the starting running back on this team.
Can't somebody poach him today if they don't put him on the 53?
Yes.
Yes.
Somebody can poach him, right?
Yes. So,
can't have that happen.
That's a decision that they have to make.
Look what Tennessee just lost.
Yeah.
They got Adrian Peterson.
Oh, that's always good.
Yeah, please don't remind me of what Tennessee just lost, because what Tennessee just lost, Bob Cooney just lost in this fantasy football team, too. But it's interesting to see how he's going to let this play out with this running back group, because, look, if we're going to poll everybody here, and I don't know if you've ever been polled, we're going to ask, is Boston Scott a starting running back in the NFL?
Have either of you ever been polled?
Obviously, no. I feel a lot more comfortable with Jordan Howard taking those carries and having Boston Scott come in for the 8-10 on the sidelines. So we'll see what happens there. So the last thing I'm going to finish up with, kind of comical here and kind of shows the silliness of Nick Sirianni, but he was asked about what Miles Sanders had to say about all the running they did on Sunday.
No, actually, he texted me, "Hell yeah, coach," with all caps. Miles was obviously super excited for his teammates. Miles is a great teammate. He is a great person, great teammate, great player. I'm sure glad we have him on the team. Obviously, we're missing him right now and look forward to when he gets back. But
all that caps?
Was in all caps, H-E-L-L space Y-E-A. So that was his, with an exclamation point after that.
Wait, what? Wait, say that again, Nick. Was it H-E-
double hockey.
L Y E space Y E A with an exclamation point.
It's just so awkward.
Why wasn't there an H on the end of
Because it's text. That's how he texted.
He's oh my God. Like that. That's just
thank
the silliness.
Thank God he spelled it out for us.
That's the silliness of Nick Sirianni, but
I think everybody needs to stop listening to Nick Sirianni's press conference.
He was spot on yesterday. S-P-O-T-O-N exclamation point.
I think he had a good day yesterday.
I thought he had a very good day yesterday, and good explanations as to especially the linebackers and the running backs, because that was a good moves on his part.
And again, if November and December are like Sunday, and he articulates, I think like yesterday, I think was his best day, summarizing in front of the press what he's doing, what their plan is, everything.
Hell yeah.
If that's it.
Exclamation point.
How do you spell that? If it coming forward, if that's what it's like, then I'm fine. I'll write off September and October as, boy, he just took a long time to get this thing rolling. But I'll be impressed. If December and you know, into January, I guess now, we got to go into January, 2 weeks, I'll be impressed.
Yeah, and I think it'll also give you your Jalen Hurts answer. Because if they're basically disguising the quarterback in keys to victory, do you really need to look much further?
Nope. No, not that's a message you got to listen to.
Yeah, what the game plans are every week now is going to be very interesting.
Jay in DC jumps in with us on the Fanatic. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, how you doing, John?
What are you up to, buddy?
Hey, about this Russell Wilson thing, would he really be willing to leave like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett? You know what I mean? He got some pretty good receivers out there.
He's got no line.
I mean, he gets beaten up. He really does get beaten up terribly.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just a weird – I think he's going to stay in Seattle personally. The Raiders – I don't know what the Eagles are going to do at quarterback because I don't see any of these quarterbacks. Hey, John, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What year can – because the quarterback that I like, but I don't know what year he's going to come out. What's up with this quarterback in Oregon? I mean, Oklahoma. Williams?
Williams
isn't he a freshman?
He's a redshirt freshman, yeah. I think.
Oh, man.
I think you got to wait a few more years.
I
believe it's a redshirt freshman, Jay. If I'm not mistaken, maybe it's because I don't think he's a true freshman.
Limited looking, I will admit, but checking out the higher up quarterbacks in college, I don't see any of them being the Eagles franchise quarterback. Yeah, I really don't.
Caleb Williams is still 19 years old.
He's a redshirt freshman.
He might be a true freshman.
Because if he's true freshman, then that means you got to wait two more years.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
We can tank for him in 2 years.
Yeah. So then there can be another tank. They can have a process.
Yeah, we'll process it up.
To try to get him.
He's
isn't good. That's bad.
He's better than Spencer Rattler.
Spencer Rattler is not good.
He stinks.
I couldn't believe the amount of people talking about Rattler.
I never saw it with him once.
No, I didn't either.
I never watched a game and went, wow, that kid. Whoa.
I got to tell you, though, I expected Trevor Lawrence to be better earlier.
It's the Jaguars. They stink.
Yeah, that is so. It's hard to watch him.
He's done a lot of non-Trevor Lawrence stuff. I guess it comes from never being hit in college.
He has no offensive line and no weapons.
And he's always been...
Chenault's okay.
Never hit.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of, John, watching him, and only you and I will remember this. When John Elway came out of Stanford and he was built up to be this unbelievably great thing, and rightfully so, but God, his first couple of years... Watching him, it was like, did this guy ever play quarterback
before?
It was tough to watch. Trevor Lawrence is reminding me of that also, in that he just can't feel his way right now. But he will.
That's why taking a running back, Travis Etienne, with their second first-round pick, was criminal.
If only there was a left tackle on the market that they could trade for today.
This is why bad teams stay bad.
What are they giving up?
A third-round pick.
Jacksonville's third-round pick, I'd do it in a second.
Yeah. But like, I would too. People,
but not fourth.
In our own echo chamber here, we hate Howie Roseman. And I get it. I completely get it. He would never spend a second first round pick on a freaking running back. No. He would have addressed the lines. He would have gone offensive and defensive lines, which is the right thing to do. This is why the Jaguars stay the Jaguars and the good teams stay the good teams, because it's all about philosophy and the Jaguars are dumb.
If you believe Nick Sirianni's the answer here in town and that he's going to be a good head coach, I got some numbers that may make your argument for you after the top of the hour. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's the John Kincaid Show on a Tuesday with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic. All the cold air that's coming in at night. I think the first freeze is coming tonight. Are you prepared? Are you ready for it? Window Nation's going to help you prepare for it. And they're not going to make you pay for your brand new windows that you're going to enjoy for 2 years before any payments have to come your way. No money down, no payments, no interest for 24 months. Plus, buy two windows, get two free. So if you have 20 windows in your home, you're paying for 10, but you're not putting any money down, you're not making any payments, you're not paying any interest until around Thanksgiving of 2023. It's a spectacular deal. They've installed over 200,000 windows. You will absolutely love them. Just in the past year, they have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, so you know you can trust them. They've also got every style, every color, every kind of window you could ever imagine. You can do that window shopping online at windownation.com. Take advantage of this great deal. Save money. The natural gas prices are going to kill you this winter. So get on in with a Window Nation window. Brand new. Call 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We're getting frisky here. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. appreciate you being a part of the festivities here. Tell your family, tell your friends. Listen on the app. We see you streaming out there. Our 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by our friends at Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com to do so. Listen for the Eagles chant. You're going to have a chance to win tailgate passes to join Derek Gunn and Devon Givens for the Fanatic pregame show coming up Sunday afternoon, live from the Gatehouse in the Navy Yard before Sunday's Birds LA game. It's $150 value. You will love it. The 1 p.m. games will be on. There are restrooms inside, parking, all-inclusive drinks and food by Cavs Caterers. Those people do a great, great job. An amazing deal. Go to phillysportstrips.com for details. If you don't win tickets, you can do that. Listen for the Eagles chant. And then you're going to call the contest line, right, Coach? You call the contest line?
215-263-0975.
There you go.
When you hear the chant, not now.
When you hear the chant. Right. So be listening.
Could be coming up pretty soon.
People are still going to call right now, just so you know.
You think people are going to call right now to try to win?
Yeah, people hear prize line, and they just call. Yeah. They don't listen to the rest.
Pavlov's dog?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that the way it works? All right. There has been a lot of critique of Nick Sirianni. But I believe we are a show of fairness. We're a show that paints a picture for you with facts and then lets you decide for yourself. And I've got to tell you, we're getting towards midseason. So that's when a lot of people go, let's give midseason report cards out. Instead, I just tried to look at, is this team better than last year? And if they are, how much better? And I got to tell you, the numbers shocked me. And I think Nick Sirianni supporters will be like, yep, trying to tell you. In 2020, the Eagles were 20th in points allowed, giving up 26.1 points per game. And they were 26th in points scored with 20.9 per game. They were not even averaging 21 points a game. So, 8 games into the year, where are the Eagles at this year? We're roughly halfway through the season. The Eagles' defense is 19th in points allowed. It's one notch better, but they're allowing just 23.9 points per game. That's 2.2 points a game better. You improve by a field goal in any statistic in a year, that is considered significant improvement. So they're well on their way. Even with all the critique of Jonathan Gannon, and I've been one of the biggest critics, they're currently 12th in points scored per game at 25.4 points per game. That's an improvement of 14 spots. And 4.5 points per game. I'm going to do the math for you. They're better right now by 6.7 points per game when you combine both sides of the ball. That's a touchdown. And more importantly, with 9 games to play, they're just one win behind last year's win total. Yes, I understand it. I've been highly critical. But in the interest of fairness, I report these numbers to you. And I admit, I am completely baffled how they are here, mainly because of how it's looked. But those numbers, that's impressive. It's impressive improvement. Not as much on the defensive side of the ball. 2 points is fine. But 4.5 points a game on the offensive side of the ball, 12th in points scored in the NFL, I got to tip my cap. That's impressive. And that's the other side of the coin and the other side of the story here. Bob and Jamie and Pat and Connor and Mike and the coach, Eric Camille. It's the John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. And Jamie, those numbers, I know you like numbers. Those numbers, they tell a nice story for Nick Sirianni to stay.
Yeah, I remember you brought up a subject in like late July or August about the defense and if they could just improve 3 points, how much of a difference it would make.
And they're 2.2 right now. And the easy part of their schedule appears to be in front of them.
Yeah, the offensive stats don't shock me. The defense kind of does, just because you had those lopsided Cowboy and Raider games where
and they're still better.
You looked like you didn't belong. The offense was so atrocious last year in its predictability, in its quarterback play, in its offensive line play. That doesn't really shock me that much. But the
they're 12th in points scored. Did you know that?
Well, there's a lot of, we've talked about it. There's a lot of garbage time points that go into that.
And, I got you, but 32 teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive for what you're working with here, which is, you know, more or less a rookie quarterback. Not really a rookie,
sure,
but kind of a rookie.
Yeah.
Pretty much all your weapons on the outside are youth. You've had a mixed-matched offensive line already throughout the course of the season. You lost the right guard. You lost the right tackle for a couple games. You're throwing Landon Dickerson in a spot he hasn't played since Florida State. Pretty impressive,
yeah.
All considered.
Yeah. I mean, they've scored 76 points in two games, right? So if you take that away, they're averaging 21 a game. Can take it away.
You can't take it away.
But you've talked about garbage points also.
There's a lot of garbage points. There is.
And we're comparing it, let's not forget, to a squad that got the coach fired and got rid of the starting quarterback. So the bar's kind of low, right?
They didn't get 30 points once last year.
But that was a team that was 26th, Bob, in points scored in the NFL. They're 12th this year.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of garbage points. They have the most garbage points in the NFL still, by the way, of most points scored down two scores.
God, looking at the halfway point last year, John, it's funny you brought it up. So the halfway point was a 23-9 win over the Dallas Cowboys. It was that. Was that a Sunday night game, I believe, when DiNucci started?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was a Sunday night.
So DiNucci gets the start for the Cowboys. Carson Wentz, again, doesn't look good. But he did throw a touchdown to Travis Fulgham.
He did.
That's right. He did. And Boston Scott had you a touchdown. But anyway, they win that game 23-9, and we all came away going, that's what an ugly, ugly win that was over the DiNucci. And then they go the last eight games of the season and go 1-7.
But the numbers,
it was almost like that win was the beginning of the end.
Do the numbers surprise you, Pat?
A little bit, yes, they do. But when you factor in all the garbage, the garbage stats, you know, fourth quarter points, like you guys have laid it out, I guess it shouldn't be that surprising. But yeah, a little bit. I still think that it's a worse team this year than probably last year.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, I don't.
Really?
What?
See, I'm not with you on that. That team won four games.
That's crazy talk.
This team's going to win.
Crazy talk. But I mean, the quarterback last year was absolutely dreadful. The one thing that Jalen Hurts has done really well this season is protect the football.
Yes.
He's not given any fumbles, interceptions, none of that.
And Carson was good for a fumble a game almost.
Oh, historically, his fumble rate is exceptional, exquisite, extraordinary. Brilliant.
I'll say it is that, and I've been somebody who's been making the case, I'm extremely frustrated with this coaching staff, extremely frustrated with their plan. And they are, if it ends right where it is now, and I got to think the defense is even going to be better because the hardest part of their schedule is over.
I was
going
to say, and look at this is all done with the hardest part of the schedule, and maybe that lends to the garbage time points because you're playing from behind a lot. But the schedule gets a lot easier. So if they can build on that for both sides.
I realize that segment is counter to what my gut instinct and opinion has been. But I think it's in fairness.
Their numbers, yeah.
It's fairness. You look at it more as numbers, though, that they're sort of not telling the story because numbers can lie.
Well, I do. I mean, you know, the numbers are the numbers, and you have to, you know, that's part of analytics. That's the simplest part of analytics is the numbers are the numbers. But as you said, yeah, there are a lot of garbage points in there. There's two very, very lopsided wins. I'll tell you the biggest difference from last year to this year that seems to me. And look, if you're going to go 8-8, they're probably similar teams. You know, 3-4-1 against 3-5 right now this year. But last year, listen to these sack totals that Carson Wentz racked up. 8-3-3, 5-6-3, 4-3, 5-6-7.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, that is, and to Pat's point,
not all of them were on him.
No, but a lot of them were.
But a lot of them were. He held on.
And Jalen, look, he runs, but he doesn't get sacked.
Yeah. No. And the quarterback play, we have to admit.
What are Jalen's sack numbers this year?
Someone could pull them up
on the Google machine.
I mean, that's just unbelievable. That was sickening last year. After eight games was probably the best the Eagles were last year, 3-4-1, obviously, because then they went 1-7. But they won that game against the Cowboys, and I remember us all coming in and being like, oh, my God, what a horrible win that was over the DiNucci. And sure enough, and the they Dinesh. Go 1-7. I love Dinesh.
His numbers are a little higher than I would have guessed, actually. Week one, it goes 1-2-2-3-2-2-2-0.
That's still much more impressive than Carson Wentz.
Yeah. If you can keep it below two every game, you're doing something right.
If you, at the end of the year, 17 games, if he sacked around 25 times,
yeah, probably.
We'd be okay with that?
Yeah.
Around 25. Yeah. He's probably on pace for around 25 sacks, right?
Yeah, maybe a little more.
Probably right around there. 30,
that's not defending. Bad for a first-year starter.
14 real sacks first-year so starter. Far. So, yeah.
It's not bad.
Maybe a little more, 26, 27.
Hey, Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. If you want to share a thought with us, you can at 610-632-0975. So, what's out there. What's out there. And they are loving, if you're so inclined, the Indianapolis Star is a gold mine of...
Oh, Doyle's already turned on them.
They're getting obsessed with they're obsessed with trying to figure this guy out.
Yeah, good luck.
And they're going like he says things that are strange.
Because
he doesn't seem fazed by a loss. They're like he doesn't say, and they're trying to figure out how to understand him, how to be like the whisperer. I'm like, it's who he is. It's just who he is. He's going to go home. And it's not going to affect him as much as it affects the fan base.
Yeah, I remember.
Or at least visibly.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I remember having this conversation with a head coach in this town before and him saying, I just can't imagine that players can blow off losses as easily as they do. He said, you know, losses sit with me until the next game, you know, going over it and over it in my head again and again. He says, and I'm reading the players' eyes in the locker room after a loss. And it's just like, all right, when's the next game? Where are we? And it does. It drives coaches nuts sometimes.
Rob's got to. Rob Motti has come up with every. He's come up with every scenario defending Carson Wentz.
Maybe crap on the guy, but he's having a pretty good year.
They're
14 touchdowns, 3 picks.
He's okay.
They're not feeling it.
Okay. How's his team doing?
Yeah,
they're not feeling it though.
He's been out. Unfortunately for him, he's been without T.Y. Hilton for 98% of the year.
That's Michael Pittman Jr. I mean, he's pretty damn good.
That's absolutely huge.
He's better than T.Y. at this point.
Yeah, but if you had T.Y. and Pittman.
The reason his interception rate is low is because he doesn't pull the trigger when he's supposed to, because he's afraid. I mean, you used to be able to say the same things about McNabb. Well, his interception rate's so low because he's not forcing those exceptionally tough throws. You know, some guys are like that. Their interception rates aren't a true reflection on how they're performing.
They are watching the draft pick talk and...
Jack Doyle, the guy out there, says, you know, it was 2 weeks ago, Carson Wentz...
Greg Doyle.
Carson Wentz, you know, leading the Colts back on track. 2 weeks later, fast forward, the Colts should consider benching Carson Wentz at the end of the season to protect that number one pick.
And now it's
funny how that moves quickly out there.
Hey, the 76ers got up close and personal with Dame Dollar last night. Dame Dollar, sort of a
Dollar Dame
snooze effort. No, I don't want to call him by his rap name.
Call him whatever gets him.
He's a rapper.
He's Dollar Dame.
He's a rapper,
and he's a pretty good basketball player. One of the 75 best ever.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he is.
I do. Just this, there you go.
I love John's K.
Well, he is. I mean, he was just voted one of the 75 best players ever.
Well, yeah.
Why is the room quiet? I'm just stating facts. What's wrong, guys?
No, he wasn't.
Everything okay?
By the way, he's Dame Dalla.
I thought it was Dalla Dame.
No, he's Dame Dalla. I was right. And you're correct.
The two of you.
You're correct.
You embarrass me, both of you.
I'm looking at it going, how did I get that wrong?
Dollar Dame sounds better.
No, he's Dame
Dollar. He screwed that up. Should have been Dollar Dame.
And there's no R on it. So don't roll an R at the end.
Dollar.
Yeah. What's the conversation here? Where is Dame now? Where is he all time? I don't know.
No, I don't want to have that conversation.
I'll tell you what, though.
I have no interest.
I kind of agree with you, what you said earlier, John. I'm not saying Dame's washed up by any means or anything like that, but... I kind of do like the younger, fresher legs of C.J. McCollum. If you're going to make a trade...
Because I don't think it... But my reasoning is...
It'll cost less.
I understand Dame is a far better player. I think he...
Oh, my God. He's a star.
He's
in
an
this
amazing
league.
Talent.
Dame Lillard's 1 year older than C.J. McCollum, for
it
the record.
Seems older, though.
Yeah, he does. Because
it's been great for so long.
And he's done a lot.
I think it's part of it.
Yeah, he's played a lot more off the away from the NBA.
He's coming off the Olympics and a short and abbreviated calendar year. I mean, I think he's off to a slow start, much the same way some of these other veterans are.
If you like the core of the 76ers, though, and you like the roster, you got the roster a hell of a lot less getting C.J. McCollum.
Yeah, oh yeah.
How does it help Joel Embiid?
Well, I don't think you got the roster that much less. I mean, it involves
to get
Ben.
CJ is a lot cheaper than going and acquiring Dame.
Yeah, but we're talking about one other piece. I mean, it's going to be draft capital.
Oh, more
and Ben.
Draft. Well, no, that the draft capital is going to be necessary.
I don't care about draft capital right now.
I don't think that
the window's closing. So draft capital be damned.
I think right now the window's closed.
Well, you have Joel Embiid, so it's
until
not closed.
Until you get something for Ben Simmons, or Ben Simmons comes back.
Well, this team's not soon.
We could see that. This team's not a championship contender without him. Without Ben Simmons or without somebody coming in.
They're actually pretty good.
A championship contender?
I can't say that yet, but they should
be. No, but that's what I said.
They should be 6-1
right
now.
Well, I mean, that's what I said. I said a championship contender.
Yeah, but they're pretty good.
I didn't say they weren't.
They're right. They're pretty close.
Contender.
But you could grow into that.
They need pieces. They have to get something for Simmons, or they have to get Simmons back and then get something for Simmons, whatever it may be. But the one thing that did stick out to me last night is, boy, they've come a long way from the years of us calling for shooters. You know, like, Danny Green got hurt last night, but he's still a premier corner shooter, three-point shooter in this league. Seth Curry, unbelievable. Korkmaz, Niang.
Niang was a great pickup.
They have really, really good outside shooters. I think Milton's a scorer. I think Maxey's kind of turning into a little bit of a scoring threat. I'm not going to say he's a scorer, but they have some interesting pieces, but they need more.
I love the aggressiveness of Maxey.
He needs to even tone it down a little bit, which will make his aggressiveness better. I do too.
But I enjoy it because that's fun to watch. That to me gets me, that's something that about Maxey that endears me to him. There's a fearlessness.
Yeah, I enjoy watching the second unit last night a little bit. I didn't expect him to win that game at all, but the fact that you were able to see the depth and how they would perform when kind of the spotlight was on them, but especially Maxey, because you're right, this is what happens, and Jamie's talked about it all the time. This is what happens when you draft guys from premier programs like Kentucky. The spotlight is never too bright for them, and with Maxey, it definitely doesn't look too bright at all. He looks aggressive, and it's nice to see if you're going to lose a Ben Simmons eventually.
And the great thing is, John, like you said, he's the worst thing you can have in a young player is that you're trying to teach him to be aggressive.
You can't. I don't believe you can teach a person to be aggressive.
Yeah, so with Maxey, at some point they're going to have to, you got to dial it down because you have to have that change of pace as a point guard. You got to be able to go slow and then fast and then fast and then slow, and you have to be able to do that stuff, which makes you that much more effective. Right now he's all fast. He's got to learn to get a little bit of slowness back into his game or into his game so it'll make the fastness look even that much faster. You know, so he'll learn that. It's a good teachable thing for a young point guard. But I'll tell you what I really liked last night was Andre Drummond. I mean, that guy was, think of this, 14 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals. That's a great night for your backup center.
It really is.
You know, I still can't
believe he chose to come here.
Yeah, I think Elton Brand loves to have good big men. I think he went after him hard.
I believe Doc Rivers had a lot to do with that because Drummond grew up playing with one of the Rivers kids. I believe they were on the same AAU team together, and Andre and Doc have known each other for a long, long
time. Isn't it too early, though, for Andre Drummond to have taken a secondary role?
I thought so at the time.
I'm glad
Andre,
glad you did it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was kind of shocked it was as cheap as it was.
And it was cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe it's two. But the move by him is, okay, where did he toil? He toiled in Detroit for a long time.
So I want to be in on a winner?
Yeah, and you know what?
A team that I know is pretty good?
And maybe there was some thought like, okay.
It was just the one-year deal.
Oh, it's a one-year deal.
If I can't, you don't join him with Joel Embiid?
So incredible.
Yeah, so that's just a really good move. And I'll tell you what, I saw him when he first came into the league in summer league, and he was doughy and out of shape, and they didn't know if he could get in shape. He's really worked at his body, and if you watched him last night, he can move.
Who did the sales job, do you believe, to get him here?
Doc and Maury.
So you think it was Doc and Maury?
I think Elton also. Elton likes big men.
I know it wasn't Joel.
No.
I know it wasn't. But they appear to be coexisting very well.
Sure. You can't beat them, join them, right? So
yes.
Joel won that match. He won that one-on-one match, and now he puts his arm around him and says, okay, you can come be on my side now.
He used to troll the hell out of Drummond. It was awesome.
He had fun with that, didn't he?
It was awesome.
He absolutely did.
T-A-T-L-E-S Eagles!
Oh.
There it is.
There it is. You've been waiting for it. You've been waiting for it. People have already been calling, I guess, is trying to get in, as Jamie was suggesting. Your chance to win tickets to the pregame tailgate this week with Derek Gunn and Devon Gibbons. And the Fanatic pregame show live from the Gatehouse in the Navy Yard before Sunday's Birds LA game. $150 per fare value. Visit phillysportstrips.com for details, by the way. By the way, you can park there. And you can take the free shuttle over. And you can have free drinks and free food and everything. Well, not free, but it's part of your
deal. All it's inclusive. Really a great deal.
It's a nice setup.
It really is.
It's a really nice setup. Yeah. So go on out. And you will love Cavs Caterers. They really do a nice job. They know
Bob,
how to put
Bob
together.
Knows how to cook.
Man, they do a nice job.
Yeah.
The filet sandwiches? Might be something. Listening, by the way, to D-Gun. Derek Gunn's love of food rivals Jamie's.
Man loves his grill.
He is a griller extraordinaire.
Hearing Derek Gunn talk about food on that show makes you starving.
Yeah. Yeah, and
Devon, who had, like, you know, looks like he needs a good meal. I mean, you know, he's slim, he's trim, he's fit, but it sounds like Devon can pack it away a little.
I hate Devon because he can eat.
He can eat whatever he wants.
It doesn't faze him.
Even
with knee surgery, being inactive,
that's terrible.
Doesn't even faze him.
Don't like it, Devon.
Me, I go inactive and I become fat ass. Homer the fat ass.
All right, coming up tonight, the potential last game you're going to see in a long time. It's a John Kincaid show on the Fanatic.
Hey, guys, as the days get shorter and the weather gets colder, you may notice your energy level in the bedroom is not what you want it to be. If it sounds familiar, give our friend Dr. Avadan Appel at Iron Mountain Men's Health a call. He and his team specialize in the treatment of ED and low testosterone. At Iron Mountain Men's Health, they create custom treatment plans that are safe and effective. Custom because every guy is different. One new option is called AMA Duo. AMA Duo restores natural performance with no surgery, no needles, no pills, and no downtime. If you've tried other options and they weren't working, it's probably because you weren't getting the right treatment for your body and chemistry. Stop making the same mistakes and save yourself the time and money. Talk to Dr. Appel. Go to ironmountainmenshealth.com to check it out. They now offer financing for qualified customers. That's ironmountainmenshealth.com, the leader in men's sexual health.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Flyers and the Coyotes tonight, 7 o'clock in the Fanatic. Coyotes are terrible. Pat Egan says, take your child's college fund and load up tonight on the Flyers. Do you want kids to go to college? I mean, that could be dangerous, Pat.
Well, if you end up losing it, I think you have a service that could help them out.
Could very well work. College Ave could get them the loans.
If you end up...
You are such a company guy.
You're great with that. That was a smooth...
That was almost as smooth as Jamie.
Smooth transition.
I think we all learned from Jamie.
Yeah, we have. Other. Yes.
I just like how Jamie can say, this tragedy report brought to you by...
There's only one person that can do the death report.
This bus Bob crash. Bob will do this bus crash brought to you by... Hey, if you're committed to being upfront with your customers, you are NJM. You got no jingles, you got no mascots, you just have great insurance. Get a quote today at njm.com. Do you believe in curses at all?
Like the new Manning cast curse? Is that where
yes.
you're going?
Yeah.
The Madden curse was real.
You think it was real?
For
or do you think it was just coincidence? Do you believe in curses? You believe it's real or you believe it's coincidence?
I believe in curses.
I had somebody bring up a curse to me today that involves one of us.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And it's pretty real. But he's not here. His name is Connor.
Someone put the cigar outside.
He thinks that one of us is cursed.
Yes. He believes one of us is cursed.
Yes.
The Scavats. Somebody put the Scavats
yes.
on him?
I mean, like the Red Sox really? Curse and the Cubs curse. That's,
really?
And it's you.
That I'm cursed?
Yeah.
I put the Scavats on it?
He's got some really, really good points.
Connor has really good points.
Yeah,
Connor, I want to explain
get him
the
in
curse.
Here. It's
to,
pretty
I
cool.
want to explain the curse.
He needs
yeah.
to run in because I need
yeah,
to.
Yeah, Connor, get in on this. It's, by it's, the way, because if you believe in the Manning cast curse, whoever has a whatever active player has appeared on the Manning cast.
Shame we couldn't get Justin Herbert on there the last
Wouldn't
night.
That have been nice?
That would have been great.
Whatever player has appeared on the Manning cast has lost the next week. Josh Allen plays the Jaguars this Sunday in Jacksonville.
It's going to get broke. Remember the Sports Illustrated cover curse?
Yeah, that was all.
That was a real thing, yeah. Yeah, that was a real thing.
I mean, it really is. That was one that we were talking about. Connor Thomas joins us. Connor, what is the curse, Connor?
So I was doing some thinking this morning.
Okay.
Always a dangerous thing.
Yeah, I know. Normally, I try not to hurt myself, but I was putting some pieces together of things going down a little bit south in the state of Georgia.
Okay.
And since you've made your way back up here to the greater Philadelphia area.
Okay.
The Atlanta Braves have made their first World Series in, what is it, 22 years?
22 since 99. Uh-huh.
Georgia football is the consensus number one team in the nation with one of the great defenses I've seen in my lifetime in college football.
That would be correct.
The Atlanta Hawks took a team that, by all accounts, was not talented enough to get there and took them to the Eastern Conference Finals.
They got to play the Sixers.
All good points so okay. far.
And in the meantime, Philadelphia is seeing the collapse of yet another number one overall pick for their basketball team.
Okay, we've seen that long before I got back. Multiple times.
It got worse when you were
long
here.
Before
Aaron
I got here.
Nola pitches way better when you're out
yeah,
of town.
Yeah, you broke Aaron Nola.
The Eagles yeah, turned into the Aaron laughing Nola. Stock of the league. They weren't great, but they turned into the laughing stock for a little bit.
I'm going to tell you, they're better off this year. They're better this year than they were last year.
You decided to make a video mocking Atlanta.
I did do that.
And they end up losing to Atlanta.
So I'm to blame for that nonsense?
Did any of us decide to make a video? Gentlemen?
You don't have any ties.
Show of hands if you decided to mock a
you
whole
don't have
city.
Any, you don't have any ties to the people that will mock every... Believe me, when they win, and I do believe they're going to win, when they win, they will be... It'll be sup, Kincaid.
Oh, I'm sure you are the first person on
they're
their
gonna
mind.
They're going to be like, sup, Kincaid. They'll when be they, all on taunting.
When they win the World taunting. Series, I'm sure you're the first
it's
person
gonna
they're going to hit up.
It's going to be taunting city.
Absolutely.
That's what they taunt.
Because, you know, when you win the World Series, you definitely mock the
you
person
like
who left.
You like to taunt. You like to taunt.
Yeah. A
I've
lot
already
of people
heard
bring
before.
Up how Ben Simmons didn't shoot in four straight fourth quarters, but you didn't shoot in seven straight in that series. No shots from Kincaid.
I did not.
No points on the board.
I did not.
I don't know. We might have to start
I would say this. How about
direction.
How about they've won one World Series, Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
the year I moved there?
Okay.
There's one. The only time they've ever won a World Series is the year I moved there.
Okay.
So it would be strange is that the first season after I move away if they win another.
So we don't know if that'd it's positive or negative. There's some cosmic energy about you, though. We have to figure it out.
That could be. That could very well be.
Okay.
We might have to. We'll
curse
find out.
Curse may be too strong of a word, but cosmic energy is a pretty good phrase, Connor. I'm going to have to go with you on that one.
Cosmic energy.
Yeah. Not yeah. as good as the cosmic brownie. Have you ever had the cosmic brownies?
No.
I think I have.
Time for
but
you
I
go.
Saw but I saw good? I saw last night on Family Guy.
Good talk, Connor.
A brownie bit that was very, very funny. I was laughing.
There was something in the brownies?
I replayed it three times. The joke. As he was eating the brownie. So if you know Family Guy, he was eating a brownie. You don't like Family Guy?
Well, one of my kids watched it all the time, but then our other son would always be like, "That's a bad show."
Oh, it is a bad show.
And I would laugh, so I wouldn't watch it for respect out of him.
I have a daughter who loves it.
Mm-hmm.
So we bond over. Did you watch Family Guy?
I had a phase. Yeah, I fell off, but
they're
funny.
It's awful sometimes.
Yeah, that's what makes it funny.
It's really, I don't know how they get away with half that they did.
Well,
very, very funny.
South Park's been doing
yes.
crazier stuff for near 30 years.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people miss South Park, though.
South Park's a very educated humor.
Oh, it's a great humor.
It's a very smart humor.
It is great.
Why? Even though it's covered up with Mr. Talking Doo-Doo, Mr. Hanky.
Mr. Hanky, the Christmas
yeah,
poo?
Yeah.
That starts Thanksgiving night. That always starts the holiday season. And my wife exits the room as my daughter and I watch the South Park Mr. Hanky special.
I think it's one of the best written shows in TV.
That starts the Christmas season. And she has to exit the room because she will not be around for it. She said it's terrible. Tonight is potentially, though, the last baseball game, or tomorrow night, that you're going to see in a long time. December 2nd, 1 month from today, we wake up to a lockout. Unless something dramatic happens in the next few weeks, we wake up to a baseball lockout. By the way, it appears the Major League owners have already decided the lockout would happen starting midnight as the clock turns to December 2nd. That there would be no free agency, no player movement allowed. So there won't be any teams able to make trades for when the lockout's over. The luxury tax system in baseball expires on December 1st. So they have to come up with an entirely new way to do their salary structure. The players are dug in and say they will not accept a salary cap. The owners would love to have a salary cap system, which, by the way, the NBA, the NFL, and the NHL all work under. The baseball players are like, no, we can't have that. This could be ugly. It could be long. And the owners are dug in and have been instructed for years to save money, to put money aside. So the owners have been preparing for this since before 2016 when they had a little manipulation of it. So,
you know,
could be long. This could be a long, cold winter.
Just the word lockout, just saying it and relating it to baseball, they've already lost fans. It's that simple. Like, I think people are still scarred from that are old enough from, what was it, 94, Jamie, when you were a little kid? Yeah. I mean, people are still scarred from that. A work stoppage, which could happen in a sport that is in desperate need of escalating their fan base, is a really scary thought. And baseball's got to watch itself. I understand the business aspect of it and what you have to do and all that. And, John, you've been on this since the day you arrived here talking about December 2nd.
It's coming.
But it could potentially be horrible,
it's horrible for the sport.
Absolutely. More than any other sport. I think other sports, you'll have a fan base that'll come back more in droves than you would baseball, where there are so many fans, young and old, teetering on the sport.
They're the highest paid players by leaps and bounds. Shut the hell up. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody cares. Nobody's in your camp. Nobody. End of story.
How much do you want a salary cap? I want a salary cap for baseball. I want a floor and I want a ceiling.
I think a floor would be more important than a ceiling.
Well, I think they both, it could be a soft ceiling like the NBA, where you have a certain amount of players that you can, you know, you can, if they're your homegrown players, you can pay them more. They could do some system like that. But baseball without a salary cap, it's part of the reason why so many teams get to May 15th and they're already out of it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
The sport needs a competitive balance.
I mean, I'd be fine with it. I would, but
it would help the Phillies.
These players, like if I'm an NFL player, I might grab a podium this week if MLB News came out and be like, are you guys serious? You guys are going to strike. How many $300+ million contracts are there in your league? Yeah, our average life expectancy is like maybe 3 years in
it's
this
around
league.
3 years, yeah.
Non-guaranteed, and it's much more physical, much more life-altering. Shut the hell up. I wish an NFL player would come out and say that. NBA player, fully guaranteed. NFL players get screwed if you look at the four major sports.
Whoa. NFL players, that's what they negotiate.
Well,
they don't get screwed.
I've been saying for years the NFLPA should be ashamed of
themselves.
Well,
that's fine. But, I mean, they're not getting screwed.
In terms of what baseball players make compared to... The NFL brings in more money. It's not even comparable.
Not even comparable. You're right.
The thing is,
they agree. But that's on them.
Okay.
No, that's on them. It's not. Don't say they're getting screwed.
Well, they're getting screwed. I mean, whether they did it or the owners did it, they're getting screwed.
If you don't like your paycheck and you negotiate your deal, if you're somebody who negotiates your deal, or if you have a union that negotiates your deal, Don't say you're getting screwed. You agree to work under the terms you agreed to.
You can call it whatever you want. If you see Mookie Betts making $45 million a year and one of the best players in the NFL making six, you're going, what the? This doesn't make any sense. The NFL makes a lot more money.
Pat, where do you fall on this?
Well, I think that Jamie was right. The floor is more important than a ceiling. I mean, there is competitive balance. They have competitive balance draft picks. If you're a bad team, you're given more draft picks. You're given higher draft picks.
How does it work, though? I mean, is it working?
But there have been players that have been drafted from the competitive balance draft that have been good because the draft picks are like 35.
Oh, no, 40. I get that part of it, but where is it paid off?
There's also revenue sharing. There's the bad teams are given money. The fact is, the small market teams cry poor like Miami, but yet they're given money from the bigger teams like the Yankees who make money. They don't spend it. That's not Major League Baseball's fault.
But the system doesn't work.
How does it not work?
Because it doesn't elevate the teams. There's no competitive balance.
That's a problem with the owners. That's not a problem with the system. That's a problem with cheap owners that want to line their pockets.
If you changed it to a salary cap, it would absolutely create more competitive balance.
I think there'd still be teams that wouldn't spend money. I don't think that it'd be a situation where all of a sudden Miami would go, oh, we can afford this guy. They can afford the guy now.
But if there's a salary
they didn't pay for their stadium at all.
If there's a salary floor, they'd have to raise their payroll by like 25 mil.
They should have to raise their payroll.
So that would help.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. They should have a salary floor. They shouldn't have a salary ceiling. I'm not a fan of salary cap, but I'm a fan of a salary floor.
So you don't like salary cap?
I like salary floor best.
Yeah, I think that's the best.
Even though all the other sports are working with a salary cap.
And it'll prove to you who exactly is doing what Egan says and who's doing not what Egan says. What are you in it for? Are you reaching the salary floor just to reach the salary floor? Or are you trying to be a competitive nature?
Can you imagine how good Tampa Bay is going to be? If Tampa is forced to spend $25 million more a year.
You need to go get even better players,
They're a spectacular organization. And if they're forced, they're going to be even better. But they're the only ones who are consistently able to, at the end of Major League Baseball, to not be spending and win. No one else is.
Well, the Athletics hang. They don't win anything.
They're a winning
organization.
There's another example of a team with bad ownership. I mean, they're trying to hold Oakland County responsible for their crappy stadium to buy. Every owner wants the area to buy them
a
stadium.
That is.
Like, that's awful. I know it's a bad stadium.
It's such a bad stadium.
Well, then the billion-dollar owner should pay for a new stadium if you want it so badly.
Well, he sees all these other owners that don't have
and
to pay for it.
That's
so he
the
wants
problem.
What he wants what every other owner gets.
Like Jeffrey Luria convincing Miami to buy a stadium that nobody wanted is a joke. And yet they were able to do it because, God forbid, the Marlins, who draw 14 fans total a night, you know, God forbid they don't have a new stadium. Nobody goes.
It's terrible.
But it's a joke.
It is. It's
billion-dollar owners continuing to be billion-dollar owners. Yeah, if you're being given money by the Yankees to be, quote, competitive, you should be forced to spend that money and not
cry. Oh, no, that is. It's because the system that's working right now doesn't work at all. It doesn't work.
Well, don't cry poor because that's the worst messaging in the world.
The players are going to take it in the shorts.
take it in the shorts, it probably is them, if you're going to balance this out, right?
Yes,
I mean, it's gotten too crazy with the spending that's going on there. So.
They're saying if the owners push for a salary cap, the salary cap would have to be implemented for the 2024 season. So they would have 2 years to adjust.
Right.
And there would be certain contracts that would be grandfathered in. Like that Mookie Betts deal would have to be grandfathered in.
Yeah.
The Bryce Harper deal would have to be grandfathered in to fit inside the structure because of the amount of terms of the contracts. Players are anti-salary cap.
They should be.
Really?
You would be too.
If
you were a player, you would absolutely be anti-salary cap.
Yeah.
It limits the amount of money you could get.
I'm not on that at all.
So, all right. So put it in our business.
Okay.
You know that Beasley is worth $1 million, right? And you know they have it. And they come to you and they go, oh, we'd love to give you this much money, but there's a salary cap.
I'd take my chance.
And you voted for it? You wouldn't vote for that. You'd go, I want as much money as possible.
Here's one thing I wouldn't do. I've never complained about a contract that I signed. And so if I sign, I've never once in my life commented on I need a new contract.
No, but that's not the point.
The point is, if
your contract was coming up in 2 years, you wouldn't go, man, I can't wait for a salary cap because you know that it would limit your future earnings.
I'm looking at the NBA. I'm looking at a business model that thrives in the NHL. NHL's actually owners are doing better off since the salary cap.
Why do I care about the owners?
No, because It's the sport is thriving.
Yeah, but the sport was thriving in the NHL before that. The owners cried poor.
They're not. The sport wasn't thriving, Pat.
I think it was thriving. Mean,
no, the sport was not thriving.
I would argue the sport's not thriving now. The sport's still.
No,
fourth.
I'm talking about financially. I'm talking about where it is in the like going away from ESPN killed the sport.
Yeah, but Major League Baseball has gotten more money this year than they did last year and the year before. I mean, it's still financially they keep continuing to grow.
And they've set attendance records. But
so they continue.
So
to grow.
You're going to root for the players to win this?
Absolutely. I'll always root for the players over the billion-dollar owners who sit there collecting money doing nothing.
Wow.
Always.
I'm shocked at that. I'm shocked with the baseball players.
Always.
That it's that not understanding the common good of the sport.
But I don't think them taking that money is negative. Like, I think when you look at why baseball is being turned off, Rob Manfred doesn't have a clue. The product is
bad.
He's
terrible.
The product is really bad. I mean, Jamie, how many times have me and you this season tweeted about robot umps? Every game we watch?
We won
617.
The World Series has had four or five horrible opportunities for them to show ball straight down in the center of that stupid computer square.
Yeah, it's a bad product. But I don't think people are not going to the game saying, man, it's because Bryce Harper's making $25 million. In fact, baseball is the most affordable sport in this city to go to.
No question it is. Mainly because of the fact, too, that nobody goes.
Well, there's 82 games.
There used to be a sellout streak for 6 years.
Well, it was good product to support, and it'll sell out again.
So front running.
Well, every fan base is a front runner.
I didn't say they're not.
You did it with your eyes.
But no, it's front runners.
But that's what being a fan is.
No, but I hear people try to tell me that this city isn't front runner.
Everybody's a front runner. Why would you financially support a bad product?
I don't want to. If there's a bad restaurant, Jamie, I'm not going to.
Exactly.
I'm not going to.
Why would you support a bad baseball team?
The Phillies were not a bad baseball team.
Yes, they are. The last decade's been hell.
The Phillies season was not.
This season was okay.
We were pleased with the plan. But and nobody went.
The 9 years prior were hell.
And nobody went.
I saw a lineup card from 4 years ago or 5 years ago.
Terrible.
It was nauseating.
Come on, Jane. They had Grady Sizemore. Peter Borges.
When they got Grady Sizemore, you liked the move, I bet.
I did not.
I did.
No, he was shot.
I just
he was shot.
You really didn't like the move?
Yeah, I've liked some bad moves.
You didn't like that one?
I was a big Ben Revere fan.
Because you've died Benny on Fresh. So many Phillies mountains with me.
No, that was
he
bad.
He just did. He's a big Ben Revere fan.
Yeah. I mean,
I still haven't given that up.
Ben Revere had a moment.
Yeah, he hit 300 and almost stole 50 bags. He got injured.
I mean, he had a moment.
200
here,
hits
at
least. That season? In 2016.
Close to it.
He had more singles than a stripper.
In 2016, your starting corner outfielders on opening day for the Phillies were Cedric Hunter and Peter Borges.
Borges. Come on, have some respect.
Borges.
You're telling me this hasn't been a rough decade? Who would support that?
I would tell you.
Was the opening day starter AJ Burnett that year?
No, it was Jeremy Hellickson.
Jeremy Hellickson. Okay.
Oh yeah.
I would tell you if a.
I'm not
if,
paying to see that.
If there's
crap.
A bad restaurant, I'm not going to it. I'm not going to it.
But
if I'm going into the last week of the season where my team has a chance to make the postseason and all season long, nobody went to Citizens Bank Park. It was empty.
Well, how much of that too is the COVID era that we live in of people
Could
not
be.
Being comfortable? I mean. I agree with you. I think
the crowds this year, we agreed that they sucked.
Yeah, they did. But I think they more sucked. Indicative of a fan base is necessarily like the TV ratings, not necessarily the attendance. Because to Jamie's point, if it's a bad product, you're not going to go. But if you're a fan, you still watch the games at home because all that's costing you is Wi-Fi or cable bill.
What did you think of those numbers, though?
I didn't see them.
Let's just say they're not cringeworthy, but they're not great.
Yeah, it's...
There's something. Baseball's got a problem. Got a problem.
Yeah, but they continue to make money, though.
They do.
Every year.
TV revenue, which is crazy. I mean, it's absolutely crazy, the numbers that are out there. This is going to get ugly. And Pat's on the player side. So I'll call the Players Association, tell them they've got a
spokesperson Tony Clark.
In you.
Tell Tony Clark I'm dying on that hill now.
Tony Clark, I guarantee he'll be thrilled. Guess what? I guarantee he's going to want to get on this show.
Yeah, he'll be in touch with you, Pat.
He'll be in touch.
I'd love
he's going
to
be looking at, well, then get work on it. After it's, he's going to wait till the lockout starts. Then he'll do the tour.
I'm very anti.
They'll be
Rob
on
Manfred,
the tour, and they're going to tell you every single hardship that Major League Baseball players have.
Well, I think the owners will do the same thing, right? Both sides will cry.
I don't think the owners are going to be able to, though, cry hardship.
They will, though. They'll find a way.
They'll try. They'll amaze you.
John Middleton's going to wander to his gate.
I'll just pull out the Forbes list and say, hey, Johnny boy, what's up,
he'll
bud?
Say, I can no longer afford $15 cookies.
I can't get, yes. Now, look, Jamie's going to run into John Middleton, like, at the club. Or maybe at a Sunday brunch.
Jamie knows him as Jay Middles.
So Jamie, you can get on.
That's what Ryan Howard
you can get
him.
On John Middleton, and then
Jay Middles,
and then Pat will work on Tony Clark.
Okay.
Okay. So that way we can have like a town hall. We can discuss all these issues, the pressing issues. So get working on that at the country club. Maybe wander on over. Get him. Put that on the Underhill account.
Yeah.
What are you putting on the Underhill account, Bob?
Spalding.
A ham sandwich.
I want a burger and a hot dog and a bag of chips and a milkshake.
There you go. You'll get nothing and like it.
Yes.
There you go. We have a 9 o'clock hour for you, John. Doran Boss joins us at the bottom of the hour. We've reached a sketchy age in media, and I'm not just talking about this show. We'll get to it next on the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. The Window Nation deal that will expire in November is one that you want to jump in on right now because it's going to help your home for the next 2 years cut major costs. And I'm talking major costs. Have you seen the natural gas prices? Seen oil prices? Yeah. Things have gotten pretty bad. So right now you're heading towards a cold winter. Window Nation wants to replace all the windows in your home, and they're going to say, you got 2 years to get it together. 2 years to be have to pay for it. Two windows free for every two that you buy, plus no money down, no payments, and no interest for 24 months. With over 1 million windows installed, you can trust Window Nation. Go to windownation.com, and you can do your window shopping. Every style, every color, you're going to absolutely love it. Call 866-90-NATION. That's how you make the call. Take advantage of this great deal. Tell them John Kincaid sent you from The Fanatic. Buy two windows, get two free. No money down, no payments, no interest until around Thanksgiving of 2023. A spectacular deal awaits you with spectacular windows and spectacular heating and cooling prices for the next 2 years from our friends at Window Nation. Check them out, 866-90-NATION.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
9 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to bagster.com. Pat looks refreshed. Y'all refreshed, Pat?
Feel good.
He's all refreshed.
He refreshes a couple times a day.
I think he's refreshed.
Feel spry.
And how did Mrs. K take care of you today with a very kind gesture? She said, bring all that Halloween candy into Egan.
Not thinking that's a good thing for him. So I'm thinking that Christina wants to, like...
No, she didn't want it in the house for me. She's
having
like,
a sugar overload. You're passing it off on somebody else. That's not good.
Why do you like to take joy away from me?
He loves it.
He's got to start calming down on his sugar intake. I'm starting to get almost concerned.
Oh, okay, Dr. Cooney.
I'm just telling you, as a friend, my best friend.
Just because you talked to Dr. Avi Dadapel one time, all of a sudden you think you're a doctor.
I'm not saying I'm a doctor. I'm looking out for you.
I think Dr. Appel would back up Dr. Cooney on this, though.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he would.
Wait, so the guy who gave me the sugar is now backing up the guy telling me
No. I didn't give you the sugar. Let it be known that it was Maria Cristina. It was not me.
Mm-hmm.
That gave you the sugar.
You know what I think?
She wanted it out of the house. She said, and she gave me the worst thing. You don't need all that. Like, thanks, honey.
Here's what I think. You both are lemon-headed cowards.
What do you mean?
You heard me.
What do you mean lemon-headed?
You're lemon-headed cowards.
Who both?
What is?
You?
Hell.
Oh, and him.
Oh,
both of you. Yeah. Jamie is implicit on this. Like, he doesn't even matter. He actually wanted some Kit Kats. I shared them.
Okay.
That's my brother in arms right now.
I was like,
you two jaggling sitting there with your dad bods are criticizing me.
I'm not criticizing you.
Sounds like you are.
No, I didn't. Criticizing you a little bit.
Sounds like a little bit.
I didn't criticize at all. I just said is that I'm worried about your sugar.
I just need to see your doctorate. That's all.
I don't want you to die.
Just need to see your doctorate.
Bob, if we lose Pat,
You know what? Right now, I don't care.
The D train's out there warming up. Warming up in the parking lot.
Choo choo, MF-er.
I don't want it to hang a banner. Want it to hang a banner, a commemorative banner in here.
I wouldn't even do that now, the way he's acting.
You wouldn't? You just say no? we've reached a sketchy age in media. Teams use their websites as news outlets and claim to have reporting and commentary being offered that is clearly monitored and policed by the people who pay the bills. Teams buy their own TV networks, like the Yankees, the Cubs, and others, and then fire analysts that critique the team and things along those lines. Now we have gambling websites and apps that are the lead in to buy. The Athletic needs big-time help to stay afloat. They're going to be sold. And now we have two gambling sites, FanDuel and DraftKings, who are trying to buy The Athletic. So, Bob, in an ethics standpoint of this, I understand. I think The Athletic product is so fantastic. That's an easy sign up for me. I love it. Sure. I love the site. I love the concept, everything. But a gambling website buying it, what do you think about that?
Well, if they're just funding it, if they're just buying it to add to their, you know, portfolio, whatever it may be, okay. If they're looking to have some kind of a hand on content, if they're looking to have some kind of a hand on how reporting is done,
well, wouldn't you think?
And you're coming from a gambling website. Look, you could be a sports gambling and take over that and say, hey, we want to hire some people that will report on sports gambling, or we want to put a bigger slant on The Athletic about the sports gambling business world because it has now become legal and it's growing.
And it's like big business.
That's fine.
It's huge.
Because it is a story. There's no question that that's a big story in sports, is the gambling aspect of it becoming legalized. That's okay. But you can't have a hand on a Zach Berman, on other great reporters that are doing their craft and that are making The Athletic what it is. So I'm not sure if it's a slippery slope. I don't think it's going to come to that. I don't think that it's going to come to jaded reporting because your now ownership group is a sports gambling site.
Think about it.
Yeah.
It seems a little strange. That if they had, that they were controlling.
But is there a real conflict of interest?
I don't know.
I don't think there is, right? I mean, FanDuel and DraftKings are going to exist regardless and make tons of money regardless.
Regardless.
The coverage of the sport, I don't think, is influenced in any way by gambling, right? Like a Zach Berman or a Charlie O'Connor, some of these guys that do great local coverage, Ashil Kapadia, I don't see how their coverage would be affected by who the ownership is.
Well, only unless if ownership comes then
and says, hey, we want to do more gambling specific stuff.
We need you to slant your reporting towards how does it affect the gambling world.
But that's just kind of staying with the times. I mean, the gambling industry is massive.
It's huge.
So to ignore it would be negligent.
Sure.
I found the story interesting.
It is interesting.
As far as who's.
But I don't think it's a real conflict of interests.
I don't think it is either. I don't see it being a conflict of interest. I see it being an investment by the gambling company, a bad one, mind you. I don't think it's a great investment for anyone to buy The Athletic. But I look at it like, yeah, it's a way to reach a broad audience on the aspects. And if DraftKings buys it, then you're going to have promo codes out the wazoo, or if BetMGM or Parks or anybody. It's a way to get their product in the eyeball. Yeah, exactly. Right. And I see it like, let's say, Ashil Kapadia or Zach Berman. I think they might be encouraged to put a betting line or two in their reporting of like a game preview. But I don't see it being really
that it affects how.
Yeah,
they
I mean, I don't see how it really would. But I do think that they would hire people that are gambling experts. And why wouldn't you? As Jamie said, it goes to the times.
Now, the weird thing is all of you guys there didn't get to the point that the red flag in my head that went off. None of you reached it. I thought for sure Bob would. Hey, Bill Jones covers the Cowboys for The Athletic. What's the real injury situation with Dak Prescott? Did you talk to the trainer today? What's the real story with this player? They say, is he going to be playing on Sunday? What's his real ankle really looking like? We want to be able to no for our odds makers.
Oh,
that's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's the red flag that went off in my head, is that they would want to have, that any one of them would want to have insights into all the inner workings, the Athletics in every single city that the NFL has.
But don't they already? I mean, these gambling sites are pretty spot on. I mean, they have their...
They are, but
they have their guys on the inside.
Wouldn't that be pretty amazing, though?
Yeah.
Beat writers for every team.
But you're reporting that anyway. Like, that's what I'm saying. If they have hand on your content, if all right, the sports gambling site goes to Zach Berman and says, all right, what's the deal with Jalen Hurts? Is
what's
he playing?
The real deal?
No, I hear he's not playing. All right, don't write that. It's going to affect what we like. If
it's
that
just
comes
an
into
interesting
play,
story. To
yeah,
me.
If that were to come into play, that's crooked as all hell.
The sports gambling websites, sports gambling has been, it's an amazing industry.
It's one of the biggest in the country right now. That and weed. We're really partying in the '20s.
Investing in it all, and one more, tattoo removal. Tattoo removal.
That's big now.
It's going to be big.
Oh yeah.
Invest now.
Okay.
Invest in it right now.
A lot of people getting stoned and getting tattoos that they don't want later in life.
And just much like the weed stocks, 5 years ago, people were telling you to buy the weed stocks.
Yeah, I own some.
My buddy Ted was like, Ted Jenkin, was like, you got to get into this. I'm like, I'm not really. No. You want to get into this. You want to have it in your portfolio.
Interesting.
So stash the weed in your portfolio. But you're a little late.
You're a little late
on the weed stock, though.
I got it like a year and a half ago.
You're late if you're getting into
still lots of states to
yeah,
legalize.
And that's sports gambling, too. Lots of
yeah,
that, too.
Sure.
Hey, Staples Connect is a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore more at your local Staples store or staplesconnect.com.
And, you know, for the states that aren't legalized yet, they can still get sports tickets, John.
How do they do that?
There's a loophole in the system.
Wait, there can't be a loophole.
It's called prop swap because us here in legal states can post our legal tickets for sale in a state that's not legalized yet.
Check out
prop swap. It's your last chance to get on the baseball action with prop swap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports.
Okay, that's spectacular.
But that's why it exists, because
yes,
a lot of states still can't do it legally, and you can go buy a ticket.
But it'll still be a great site when everybody's got it.
Yeah, absolutely. But right now,
because
for those out-of-staters,
somebody has the foresight to buy a ticket that you didn't buy.
Sure. I should sell my Kyler Murray ticket.
I told you should have sold it before last Thursday night game.
It's not as good as it would have been before that Thursday night game. I mean, it's still him, Brady, and
that number's never going to be higher than it was that Thursday morning.
It was Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry was in the mix. Now he's out. But that could help him.
Yeah.
That Derrick Henry's out.
Yeah, absolutely.
It could help the chance if Kyler Murray bounces back and plays strong.
I mean, who is it? It's Brady or him right now, right? Am I missing anybody obvious?
How about Josh Allen?
Yeah, Josh Allen's up there.
Josh Allen's the favorite, I saw.
I think Josh Allen should be.
So those are the three, right?
I might be hitting the prop swap because I have a bunch of Titans to win the Super Bowl pets.
Do you really?
Yeah. Not a bunch, but I have like $30. And
unload now.
It's to win like $1,200 because that division's so up for grabs that I figure all you need to do is make the playoffs. We'll start hedging.
I don't think there's any one individual player in the NFL that means more to their team's success than Derrick Henry.
No. He sets the entire tone of a game.
Yeah, like, I'd rather lose Patrick Mahomes than Derrick Henry.
Sir, did we forget about Jalen Reagor?
I got to tell you this, Patrick Mahomes, it just doesn't look right. I only saw around 20 minutes of the game last night.
Yeah, I saw
something
the jump pass interception.
Right. Doesn't look right.
No, it doesn't. It looks like a very undisciplined team on offense when you have so much talent. It just doesn't seem right.
You can lose a guaranteed up to 40 pounds, contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days with NJ Diet. Go to njdiet.com. That's njdiet.com. In Cooney's Corner, Bob wants to take a look at the offense.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Now, there hasn't been very many times that we were excited about this Eagles offense so far this year.
Yeah,
right?
I mean...
Kind of Atlanta, okay. That was just a horrible game, a horrible opponent. Arthur Smith, I think, had first game jitters where he didn't know what was going on. But the Eagles took advantage of it. Not a huge day for Jalen Hurts, but okay, not bad. They win a huge game, meaning they win by a huge number, on Sunday against the Lions by doing what? Running the ball 46 times. when the offense has sparingly looked good this year, it's because they're hiding Jalen Hurts. I mean, it's obvious. Like when they're doing good, they're throwing maybe little screens, which they did against Atlanta. They picked the receiver and went four straight times to him. They go to the run. They get him out of the pot. They hide him as a quarterback. And that's when their offense is running at its best. So is that as telltale as anything that we're learning about this team this year?
Yes. They already know their answer. The organization does. I think for 7 weeks, they tried to prove what they feared wrong. Let's not forget there was reports coming out in August that, you know, they didn't think he was the guy. They don't think he's the guy. I think they tried to give him every chance in what they thought was a basic, easy offense to run. He misses too many plays, and now they're going to dumb it down, and I believe have the foundation of the offense be a running attack for the rest of the season.
Here's where they're 12th in points scored today.
Uh-huh.
They have 3 wins. They're 3-5.
Yeah.
They win four games. What if they win 5? Let's say they go 4 or 5 wins. They get 7 or 8 to season. And I would imagine the easier part of the schedule, then they're going to climb in points per game even more. If this is a top 10 offense, Jalen Hurts is getting another year. And Jalen Hurts is getting another year. If they're a top 10 points scored, I believe he's going to get another year.
I mean, eye test so far. You laid out the numbers about this offense that are somewhat surprising.
It surprised me, yes.
Yeah. I mean, eye test, John. Just eye test. Is Jalen Hurts a starting quarterback in this league?
No.
Yeah, I mean, you say it emphatically and quickly.
I think, but... Do I believe that Jalen Hurts in 2022, with more reps and more talent around him, and a better talented defense, so he's not... I believe in a better offensive approach. I think Jalen Hurts could be back next year. I really do. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion he's not their starter next year.
I only believe he would be because they didn't have any other options, is what I'm saying.
Could be. Could very well be.
My feeling here is, okay, your best offense has so far, in the limited time you've shown goodness in your offense, has been by hiding your quarterback. So if that's the case, can you look for something better now? I mean, do you say, because maybe if you can't get a quarterback for next year, do you take a look at a Gardner Minshew? Do you maybe say, okay, we know what he is. We're at our best when we're hiding him. What if we have a running game and somebody that can throw the ball a little bit better than him and can hit guys to be open in the receiving group? I don't know. It just seems to me that every time they're doing well offensively, it seems as though it's not because of Jalen
Hurts. Can you think of, and this is an exercise we'll do with the three of you, can you think of one time this year outside of a basic vertical route, which, you know, he hit Smith and Rager on for the touchdown, have you seen one instance where he's thrown a guy open? Because I have one, and it's Dallas Goedert in the end zone against Atlanta week one.
That's a good one, yeah.
Other than that, nothing really comes to mind
where he's
throwing to spots and throwing guys open.
No.
I mean, if I'm missing, I'm asking genuinely.
Maybe some of the Dallas game. There were a couple in the Dallas game, a couple Dallas Goedert's that I can think of where he just drilled lasers and he's thrown to a spot and Dallas hit it and then ran and took off. But it's few and far between.
And again, that Dallas game.
I'm hard pressed to think of examples.
I know. Not a lot comes to mind.
Yeah. And that Dallas game, that's kind of desperation.
Yes.
Because they were behind. So. And their best offense is when they're way behind and where it's kind of like, okay, let's just open it up and let them go and defenses are playing prevent. I mean, it's really hard to think that this guy has
terrible
manufactured confidence in the team moving forward.
All right, I'm going to put it on, Pat, I'll put it on tape. If the Eagles somehow found their way to 8-9, Jalen Hurts will be the starting quarterback in 2022.
Oh, that's gross. That is so gross. Luckily, it won't happen.
If they somehow get to 8-9, Jalen Hurts will be the starting quarterback in 2022.
Yeah, and he's probably... Look, I don't think Gardner Minshew's the answer either. But I'm certainly going into next year not knowing that Jalen Hurts is the answer, too.
If they're 8-9... He's the starting quarterback. They're not going to pull the plug.
They're not going to get taken.
I think they'll look for better.
No, I made clear. I don't believe that. But I do believe Schefter's feeling a little better this morning about 7.
So that with your thinking, you think Howie Roseman is going to tie his ship to Jalen Hurts.
I think that what he's going to do is he's going to cash in on fix this defense with an impactful draft.
But that's
fix
the defense, still
and then,
another year to Jalen Hurts where he's the steward and Howie will be tied to that decision.
Not, but I'm not going to be leaving fairy tales of... Yeah, you're going to get Russell Wilson to want to come here. You're going to get Aaron Rodgers. You're going to get Aaron Rodgers to want to come here. You're going to get a top-notch guy to want to come here. I don't believe it for a second.
I think if Jalen Hurts is your starting quarterback, no matter what happens for the rest of this year, if he's your starting quarterback next year, to me right now, I think it's because you couldn't get anybody else.
And that would be maybe what it is.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe the top guys are having any interest in coming.
But if they can't get the veteran, they're going to draft somebody. It's very.
It might be, but he might not be the starter next year. They could. They're going to draft a quarterback this year.
So what? We're
going
to do a bridge to Matt Corral or Malik Willis?
Might be
with Jalen. I mean, that's just a waste of time. You have a good offensive line. Just start the kid. We're not playing like they're in do or die mode. Without a quarterback, you're nothing. If they have decided that Jalen Hurts is not the guy,
there was a guy.
They're going to get somebody new, and he's going to be baptism by fire.
There was a guy, Justin Fields. Who everyone's saying, start week one. And now the Chicago Raiders are going, well, he's really being thrown to the wolves and he's sort of swimming in it. And there's parts of the offense he doesn't grasp. And he's doing, and there are a couple weeks where he's passing for like 120 yards, 130 yards. Because he wasn't ready.
And it'll pay dividends for him next year. He's gaining NFL equity. That's invaluable.
Or...
Yeah, he'll be fun.
It's game. It's dangerous.
He made a hell of a throw on the run to the tight end. I mean, that was, like you said, thrown to a spot, right. Thrown to somebody. We rarely, and Jamie, you're absolutely correct. It's hard to come up with plays that he's made that stick out in your mind.
Hey, it's a really, that's a great look, Jamie.
Scary exercise.
No, it is a scary exercise.
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy that, Jamie.
No, I didn't really enjoy it.
These are the thoughts I have in my head.
Here, Jamie.
You can't help the darn place.
One thing, somebody asked me yesterday because I was talking to a member of the media who was saying, so about a San Francisco fan. And he was asking me about, what's it like being home? What's the thing? He goes, that fan base is so negative. He goes, why are these guys coming out now and sort of, he was pointing out the Chris Long and others saying, boy, it's a great place to play, and Zach Ertz. It seems like he says, is it the Eagles players think it's a great place to play? Or is it all guys in sports
that
think
it's a great place? I just saw the Honey Badger and another one of the Chiefs talking about how the Kansas City Chiefs fan base might be the most toxic in all the sports.
What are they toxic about?
So I think...
Because they're spoiled brats now that they won?
I think when players have things go wrong, when they're used to some success, all of a sudden the fans become creeps. Well, we weren't creeps when you were doing well, were we?
And I said, well, what about Joel Embiid? He loves it. What about Bryce Harper? He loves it. He goes, yeah, the guys with the most job security and the most cash in the bank are very vocal about their love of your town. And he says, who are the guys who are really vocal about it who are not?
I bet you Jalen Reagor hates it here.
Oh, I'm sure he hates it.
I've talked to many guys that while they were here,
but he hasn't produced,
didn't understand it, and then after they left, totally got it. So the national media, the people out on the outside will say, oh, horrible fan base. People on the inside say, no, passionate fan base. Big difference. To a guy almost, guys who were here that didn't like the fan base the way they treated them then understood it when they left.
I can think of like five guys off the top of my head later on. They wanted the best out of me. They wanted that.
Yeah.
John Dornbos joins us coming up. We'll have an opportunity to speak to him as he's got a big show coming up this weekend. And I'm going to ask him about, what do you think about the head coach of the Eagles? And would you have liked to play for someone like that? Would that have been your kind of guy as a head coach? We'll talk to John Dornbos next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. If you own a home, you need a stable of trusted service providers. H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. Joe Hoke, his brothers, have been doing it since 1985. They are fantastic people. They make sure the customers are satisfied, safe, and boy, do they work around the clock 24/7, every single day of the week. Emergency service with a live person at the other end of the phone. They deliver fast, friendly, and local service. You know right now that your furnace may not be up to snuff as you head into the winter. So call H&H or go online to DelcoHVAC.com and schedule a furnace tune-up. For $69 for a limited time. They're going to find out if your furnace is ready for the winter, and if not, get the necessary fixes in before the cold weather really truly hits. And I can tell you, don't let DelcoHVAC.com fool you. If you're in Chester County, Montgomery County, South Jersey, Delaware, they're ready to serve you. Visit DelcoHVAC.com. Schedule the furnace tune-up for $69 for a limited time. Make sure H&H is on your stable of home, you know, the home survivors, the people that are going to help you get through this winter. Tell them John Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com, and we appreciate them being a part of the John Kincaid Show. Here on The Fanatic, I think that we all have recovered from Vegas. We're all back rested.
In what world wouldn't we be?
Yes, I mean, we better be. John Dornbos enjoyed his time in Las Vegas with us, and we enjoyed his magic show. And he joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline and got up early with us this morning. John, have you, how many days does it take you to recover from some days in Vegas?
Oh my gosh, 2 days in Vegas. Now that I'm in my 40s, it takes me forever.
What is your normal sleep pattern?
I'm on the non-pattern pattern, if you call it that.
Okay.
You know what? Here's the deal. I got a 2.5-year-old, but my 2.5-year-old sleeps until like 10 o'clock in the morning. Oh, so we put her down at like 8:45, 9 o'clock. Oh, yeah, this is no joke. So mom and I kind of stay up late because our kid, and then we get a 2-hour nap in the afternoon. So,
that's not bad.
No, are you kidding me? She sleeps all through the night, sleeps until 10 o'clock. So mom and I are kind of night owls, and then we get to sleep in a little bit.
Oh, that is awesome. We've been talking about Nick Sirianni a lot this morning and his sort of very enthusiastic, aw shucks kind of approach. The Eagles are 3-5, but you played for a lot of coaches in your day. Did you ever play for a coach that reminds you in any way of Nick Sirianni? And would you have liked to have played for a coach like that?
I like to play for every coach. I mean, you can take something great from all of them. So, gosh, damn. I mean, you could... You know what? I just think that they just need to run the ball. I mean, I played for coaches that like to run the ball. So
it only took them till week 8 to figure that out.
I know.
It was amazing.
Look, you're not going to win if you don't stop the run, and you're not going to win if you don't run. I mean, that's just the history of the game. And so, yeah, let's hope they figure it out and keep it going.
John, when you hear Nick Sirianni do the plant analogy of growing the roots and all of that stuff, and I'm not putting it down, but he did kind of reach there. When you have veterans in a locker room and star players in a locker room, and a coach comes out with that, where do players tend to lean when they hear something like that?
So this is a little bit more complicated question. It all depends on what the culture of the organization is. It all depends on what the culture of your team is and what the relationship is with the coaches and the team. I know this, that when I played for Andy Reid, that guy could have said anything. And our team, dude, we loved him. It would have been like, let's go, let's do this, whatever analogy you want to do, let's figure it out. If you don't like the coach, it doesn't matter how great it is, right? So that's a question that only that locker room can answer.
Yeah, John.
Now, hey, hold on real quick. This is actually funny. Do you guys remember years ago? I think it was Jacksonville. They had the analogy of like, let's just keep chopping wood, keep chopping wood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the punter went in the locker room and took the axe.
Oh, that's right.
And missed it and like cut his foot open.
That's right. I totally forgot
about
sometimes,
that. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't work when you have
that. Yeah.
That didn't. Yeah, John. So to that same point, I don't think anybody argues that Jason Kelce is a leader of that offense. He's a future Hall of Famer. When you hear him break down the team huddle in the locker room following a win going 1-2-3 roots, that tells me, as an outsider looking in, that they like Nick Sirianni, because I think if they didn't like him, it's probably not a point of his breakdown at the end of the game. Am I reading too much into that?
No, look, that's a great point. And I got to play with Jason Kelce. I love everything about that guy. Whatever he says, I roll, let's go. So yeah, they're not breaking down his philosophies if they don't like him.
The Eagles right now, as you see them, when you're in a team and you're a veteran player, and they're not running the football and they are just disregarding what is common knowledge, best practice in the NFL. Do veteran players? We've already seen two veterans speak out behind the microphone at press conferences against coaching philosophy. Do other veterrans try to take them by the lapels and say, guys, we got to stick together here? Or how does that work?
You would hope. I mean, again, it's one of those things where it depends who your leader is. You know, when you got a guy like Brian Dawkins, when you got like Jeremiah Trotter, when you got John Runyon, when you got Trey Thomas, when you got, you know, all these guys that are vets, you know, that stuff, yeah, they take it into their own hand. And then, you know, as I was playing, you know, we had Jason Peters, we had Darren Sproles, we had Kelsey, we had myself. And so, you know, you got to kind of herd the cattle, right?
Absolutely. So, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Get them all in here. Now, yeah. How do you, you got a show coming up this weekend, right?
Yeah, man, I'm super stoked. We're going to be at Live Casino November 6th at 7 p.m. You never know who's going to show up. I was actually super excited. Darren Sproles will be in town. So he's like, hey, man, can't wait to see your show. He'll be there. I know Todd Harriman's is coming. I got a bunch of other guys that we reached out to. So if you're an Eagles fan, we're going to tell some football stories. I got some new tricks. And we're going to have a good time. And you never know who will be in the audience.
We were amazed by the show. And honestly, my jaw still dropped at a lot of the tricks. They always say the magician never gives away his secrets. So how do you learn secrets if magicians don't give away their secrets?
Yeah, every Tuesday it comes down from the sun. You make a deal with this guy in Omaha.
Because I'm still trying to figure out the quarters from the one bit you did. That is, to me, I still can't figure out how you pulled that one off. From that shoebox on the stage. I don't know how you did that one.
That's one of my favorites. You know, once you kind of progress in magic, it's a close-knit community. And look, here's an analogy. There's singers, there's singer-songwriters, right? And then there's just writers. So in magic, it's the same thing. There's magicians that aren't very creative, but they can perform. There's magicians that can create and perform. And then there's people that have no performance skills, but they can create the most amazing magic. So it's the same dynamic as in singing. And as you progress, get on TV, and as your reputation precedes you, the more creative, more reputable people want to work with you, and then they'll invent something and be like, yo, man, this fits you. Will you perform this? And you kind of get in that little circle, and you never want to leave.
And, John, the way you interact, what life is all about and what it's meant to you and the struggles you've gone through and overcome and how good your life is now and everything that is involved with it, it's a conscious effort, obviously, on your part. But is that as big a part of your show, do you think, as the magic?
I think it's everything, right? So I had a mentor named Ken Sands who was awesome, and he basically taught me over time that, like, look, it's not about the trick, right? The trick doesn't matter. You know, George Carlin said it, and he was quoting somebody else that, hey, they're not going to remember the exact trick or the joke, but they're going to remember the way that you made them feel, and that's why they're going to come back. And so, you know, a good show should make you reflect. It should make you laugh. It should make you think. It should make you interact. And so all that goes into it, and you want it to be a show where people leave and just go, wow, that was not what I expected, and I just feel great about life.
Away from the magic and back to the football for a second, John. What have you seen from Jalen Hurts this year? What's your, you know, 8 weeks? You got like 3.5 games last year. It's almost 12 games into his career. What's kind of your impression so far?
Dude, my impression is league-wide, is that it's so – and so when I played early in my career, you know, I got to play with guys like Drew Bledsoe and Steve McNair and obviously Donovan, guys that had a lot of experience. And then somewhere around the Mark Sanchez, Sam Bradford era, you know, right after that, it was like quarterbacks come in and you're going to play right away.
Yep.
And I think it's so unfair because of the money and because of this, you know, we got to win now. There's no time to rebuild in the NFL. Coaches get one shot, and it's such a quick turnover. In general, I think it's so unfair at the quarterback position that you take young kids and just throw them in there. Like, you got to give them a couple years to learn to sit back. And I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers. Look at all these great quarterbacks that had Brett Favre, that had time to just learn, because it is such a different game than college. And like, they're going to come out, and if they got a little thing going on, they're going to have short-term success, and then a coordinator's going to figure them out, and then every coordinator's going to copy that. So, look, Jalen Hurts is doing the best he possibly can. You know, it would have been cool to see, you know, had he had a couple years to just sit back and learn and really understand the NFL defenses and schemes. You never know.
Did you ever think about being a broadcaster?
I guess now after that comment, go ahead and give me a call, and
No, I mean, it's just, I think you would bring an entertainment quality to a game. And that's what it's sort of about right now, right?
Yeah, and you know what's even more funny is that I don't really know a whole lot about offense and defense. I can talk to you about special teams and scheme.
Well, you'd fit in on this show then, because we don't either.
It would be fun to get a color guy that just talks special teams and really breaks stuff down, because I don't think the average fan really understands, like on a punt return, how much goes into those 2 seconds and how complicated schemes are. And though it looks like nothing happens, was what you hope, man, there's a lot going on.
CBS went to it with Jay Feely. Jay Feely's the first special teams guy really getting that. Steve Tasker probably back in the day. You know, the guys that get to understand the special teams and bring it to the table, which is
nice. Steve Tasker.
Fantastic.
John, on that note, have you watched many of the Manning casts so far, and what are your thoughts on them?
You know what? I haven't, but I heard they're phenomenal.
They're great.
I saw a clip of one. You know, I'm actually shocked that, like, somebody that you don't have, like, an adult version commentary, right, that some streaming service doesn't pay.
I said this yesterday. Curse away.
Yeah. Like Bob Menery, everybody has heard of him.
Sure.
The golf stuff on his Instagram. I would probably watch that. Just a bunch of comedians commentating sports.
I mean, they got to try different stuff, you know, and that's the way it works. John, so people can still get tickets for Saturday, right?
Yeah, there's still some tickets left. Oh, my gosh. Philly Live Casino?
Yep.
PhillyLiveCasino.com. November 6th, 7 p.m., so it won't be a super late night. I'll say this, too, and you guys have seen the show. You can validate this. It's an adult show that is very kid-friendly. So
absolutely.
If you have an 11-year-old, 12-year-old, the kids will love it. You're more than welcome to bring it.
Leave the 11-year-old at the blackjack table.
And well, you can do that too. You know,
and
let it roll.
You know, and let it work there. John, safe travels coming back, and we look forward to seeing you again soon, buddy.
Hey, love you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, John.
John Durenboss joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. It is a very kid-friendly show.
I tell you, I was just
he's fantastic.
Showing, he really is. The way he interslices things about his life and what his feelings of how we should treat each other. And it's not done in a corny way. It's done in a way that what he really feels. And when you know his story and what he's been through, and then the physicality part of it, what he was through going from here to New Orleans, saving his life. Like everything that he intertwines with the show is absolutely
he's funny
perfect.
Too.
That trade
story
was very
is funny. I had so much fun there. It was a good time.
Patty's very. I mean, he's very funny and interacts with the audience.
Naturally
too.
Funny, mixes in kind of every emotion.
Yeah,
because of his story and what he went through, and obviously you know Connor's back there still yelling. In what world?
In what world?
Him and you both were blown away.
Connor's not allowed to go though.
Oh my God.
Intoxicated to then. All, you know, be the one to sit there and, you know, just commentate the entire show. He's not allowed to do that.
I wouldn't change it for anything.
I don't think people had a problem with that. I think it was the shorts were making people uncomfortable.
The shorts did make these.
I took a picture that I still have in my phone of it.
Of the shorts?
Yeah.
Creepy.
I thought it was Richard Simmons. But. When he came in, I thought it was Richard Simmons.
He's missing still. Wait a minute,
Richard is missing?
No, he's not missing.
Well, he's captive in his house. Maybe not by his own doing.
So he's a shut-in.
Has anyone checked his house?
You got to listen to the podcast. It's fascinating.
That Richard Simmons is missing.
There's a keeper of the estate that basically keeps everybody at arm's length from the estate. It's very shady.
I wouldn't imagine his estate would be that.
Oh, I bet he's worth some. Oh, yeah.
What do you think Richard Simmons is worth?
Like $10 million?
I'll go like $25 million.
I'd say like
I'm thinking
30.
$10 million. What do you say, Pat?
I would go $7 million.
I'm going 10. I'll go 10 million.
According to Celebrity Net Worth, 20 mil.
Yeah,
that's a good chunk of change.
It is, but it's not like...
I mean...
That Richard Simmons is being kidnapped? Anything like that?
If you could glom on and get that inheritance one day, then...
There have been stories about that before.
But there's a whole podcast on it. It's Missing Richard Simmons. He hasn't been seen in public in like... 8 years, 9 years, something like that.
I actually saw
pretty
him
wild.
When I went down to Ground Zero.
You saw Richard Simmons at Ground Zero?
6 weeks after 9/11, I went down to Ground Zero, me and my mom.
What? You saw
it? And, you know, Ground Zero, it was blocked off for blocks because of the destruction that happened. And all of a sudden, the police barricade opened up, and then a cop car went by, and Richard Simmons was in the back seat. And he wasn't arrested. He was being escorted out.
Why?
He clearly lived. He must have lived near there. I was like, holy crap. That's
so Richard was being escorted out?
So I can tell you right now, Jamie, I saw him in the last 20 years.
Okay, but you haven't seen him in the last decade, have you?
Well.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great point by you.
I mean, Richard
I think
is.
I did. I think he was on Kelly and.
Kelly and Regis? Kelly and Regis?
I don't think so.
Well, no, Regis we don't see anymore.
He fell off the face of the earth.
Bob, you could sit there and say you saw him yesterday, and Jamie's like, no, I don't think you did.
Strahan?
No, what's the dude's name? Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, Ryan Seacrest. Yeah.
There's some money that's, he's worth a couple shekels.
Yeah.
Whew. Oh, he's worth more than that. He got in on the Kardashian.
But that was sarcasm.
Well, it didn't sound like it.
It was sarcasm.
Didn't sound like you knew.
Well, I'm just going to. I'm just going to say that's a scary story if he is.
Yeah, it's a bizarre one for sure. I listened to the podcast. It's weird. Oh. To say the least.
Do you go with a tinfoil hat on?
No.
I hope Richard's okay.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I
like Richard Simmons.
I just tweeted at Jamie. So you can find, maybe we can get in on this story. What is going on? Rolling in here. What is it here? Andrew Salchunas is rolling someone into the room here. This is
bizarre. If the YouTube crowd can see it, but it is bizarre.
It's like Hannibal Lecter.
I don't feel comfortable.
It's being brought in here.
I'm not even in the room, and I don't feel comfortable.
Hello, Jamie.
What are you, a Sith Lord?
Hello, Jamie.
You're not making eye contact with it there?
Jamie.
So we go from Richard Simmons. It's an easy, smooth transition to Anthony Gargano.
Natural transition, yeah.
There's an Anthony. See, I can tell you there, Richard, he was fine at my housewarming party.
Yeah, that was how many years ago?
1994.
There you go.
There's Richard.
Have you heard the Richard Simmons story?
No.
He's...
I would imagine...
Missing.
I would imagine because you do not even...
He's kind of being held captive in his own house by somebody that's...
Reportedly.
Managing his estate. He hasn't been seen in public in like 8 to 10 years.
Wow.
Bizarre.
Has anyone been... Does he have any...
Friends and family are held at bay by this guy in the security gate at the house. It's really a bizarre story.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, poor Richard
Simmons. That sounds a little bizarre.
Yeah. I hope he's all right.
He likes it that way.
I said I put a picture up for Jamie where he crashed my housewarming party. He was at... One of my neighbors was a set designer for QVC.
Wow.
In 1994, and he showed up... My house was right sort of down from QVC.
That's awesome.
And Richard crashed the housewarming party in shorts that Connor Thomas would still be wearing today.
That's awesome,
the shorty shorts.
That's great.
But I hope Richard's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's okay.
Sure.
Where do you get a start, Jamie?
Sure.
General Hospital.
Of course.
There you go. General Hospital. Cause you,
I got a message for you.
What's that?
Tasty Cake Dom.
Okay.
All right. Tasty Cake Dom.
I don't know the guy because
I vouch for the guy.
Okay.
He's good people.
He's promised twice.
Listen, he's good people. He's going to give me the cakes. I'll give the cakes to you.
So it's going to be like a handoff. It's going to be
an exchange of the cake.
Know what he said? Take care he of the said cakes.
No, I don't want that because you see, then it's going to be because he loves Tasty Cake Dom. Cuz will go buy a box.
No,
bring them in.
Dom and him are close to each other. Makes sense.
Dom is that dude's ace. He's an ace.
Well,
he would take a bullet for you.
Well, Dom may be an ace.
Worry about cakes.
Dom may be an ace, but the guy he bet on is clearly not. Aaron Nola.
I agree with you.
That was the easiest bet ever. I was taking candy from a baby.
Aaron Nola is an ace. Taking
the tasty cakes. Yeah. That's very good. Hopefully we'll have hopefully some buttercream tasty cakes. Those are the. What is yours? A crimpet?
That's
you
my
look like a crimpet smith.
Nah, my father's a crimpet. I like the peanut butter.
The candy cake?
Yeah.
So you put them in the freezer?
In the fridge?
No.
You do not.
I don't like
them. You like them room temperature.
Yeah, I like them nice.
Bob, are you a fridge person?
I like them chilled, and I eat off the bottoms, and then
peanut
butter tops, and put those two together, and then
eat
it that
way. Oh, my God, Bob.
Right?
My father does the same with the crimpet. He pushes the crimpet together.
Okay, that's serial killer stuff.
Peels off, so there's double layer of icing.
Yep,
That's serial killer stuff.
Yeah,
but then he doesn't eat the cake.
You have to experiment.
Well, no, he does, but
you eat the cake first, and you save the cake for last.
The double icing cake.
Sure.
If it's a three piece, he'll use the triple.
Okay, now I cannot make fun of them, your dad, or anybody with that because I eat Oreos like that. If I had like four Oreos,
right,
I have to unscrew the Oreos. eat the four lids
and
that are empty,
the,
and then put two together.
Like, that's the double stuff.
Yes. But no, because really, if you get the double stuff.
That's a quadruple stuff.
Quadruple stuff. And now, Olivia came home one day, and I don't know if they sell them everywhere, with this, like, mega stuff.
No.
Yeah, they do a mega stuff.
Oh, you've seen?
Yeah, it's like a quadruple stuff.
No. I don't know.
I'm telling Anthony, it's this much crazy.
It's too much. It's too much.
Yeah,
dinner.
That's got to be too
it's
much.
It's
not
too
good
much.
For dipping in the milk.
It's too much. Now, yeah, like, Egan would love
it. Double stuff's perfect. Just leave it alone.
Double stuff's are great. Right. Now, do you like the golden Oreo?
It's okay.
I love the golden.
I prefer the regular.
The golden Oreo? Golden Oreo, what's that?
Like, it's like vanilla. A vanilla wafer.
Yeah. No, that's a violation.
No, it tastes... Vanilla wafers are the worst.
No, vanilla wafers, don't you dare.
They're an
delicious.
Abomination.
God,
oh my God,
you're an abomination.
Delicious. Vanilla wafers?
Vanilla wafers are a tremendous item.
Do you get out these... Does Cuz approve or not of those horrible cookies my wife gets every time, right around this time of year? They come in the orange box.
Oh, the spiced wafers?
They're horrible.
If you dip it in a hot
terrible.
If you dip it in a hot apple cider, that's
she
the only way
one
it's
sleeve.
Good.
She gets one sleeve, and she has the willpower.
Like,
she can make them last a month, and she goes, I notice you haven't eaten any. Yeah, I won't.
Yeah, that are horrible.
They keep, like, Satan
that's
away.
That's not a cookie.
It's not. It's terrible.
Exactly. It does. It words off evil spirits.
You know, approved snacks by Cuz. Is another good side topic.
Sure.
The is that approved or not?
Yeah, no, I would not approve.
And the bastardizations of things like I have a buddy of mine who goes, "You, why would you ever eat the bastardized Oreo? The yellow Oreo. You don't eat the yellow Oreo."
Yeah, I agree with
they
that.
Now,
it
have, like,
a,
now they have like 15.
It's a good item, though. It is a good item.
Actually,
candy corn
kids had the birthday cake or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah. You like them?
I don't eat that stuff.
They have candy cane. Candy cake, not candy, candy corn Oreos. I saw in the store.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Candy corn
what's
filling.
What's wrong with just the regular Oreo?
Why does it,
like,
that's
a fine
thing.
Item. Like, I once in a
wrong.
While get a cup of coffee with an Oreo.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It's Americana.
Oh, it is. It's Americana.
The mini Oreos are nice, too.
Okay.
Sure.
We put out the numbers quickly this morning. I went over the numbers halfway point of the year. Do you realize the Eagles are 12th in points scored in the NFL?
It's a lot of garbage.
It is. Do you realize that their defense is better than it was last year? By 2.2 points a game.
Like, that's why I don't believe in the stats and numbers. It's all nonsense. It makes no sense. Use your eyes. You know they stink.
There you go. Hey, don't forget to cast your vote for this week's Hooters Pigskin Princess.
Now, we got
to
get back in the playoffs.
Brittany and Kiara have made their picks. They're probably better than ours. So click on the contest page at 975thefanatic.com today to cast your vote. We appreciate John Dorenbos stopping on by this morning. Busy day tomorrow with Adam Schefter joining us. We've got Pat's Takes. We have What the Puck with Jason Martinez and more. Make sure you make time for us. And remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, Window Nation. Make a donation today to the American Association for Cancer Research at 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. Whatever cookie you like, whatever sports team you like, we love you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Cookie.
Get a cookie. John Kincaid Show, Cuz Radio comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.